Blog Talk Radio.
Alright, good evening everyone. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance on Blog Talk Radio tonight, Monday night. I do see that we're having some technical problems again. I guess that's what happens on Monday nights these days anyway. I know some people are trying to log in over on the website, so it looks like some are being able to log in right now, so hopefully people will be able to get through. Meanwhile, for those who are listening on National Liberty Alliance, if you want to get into the text chat, if that text chat isn't working, you can go over to Blog Talk Radio and get in over there. All right, anyway, tonight we got a lot to look into. We did file by sheriff. We had the sheriff serve these, actually. We did it more like a serving. We served the two mandamuses today, one went to the judge in Greene County and the other one went to the county clerk in Greene County. We're going to talk about that in a little while. Gerard's on the line with us, and he's the one who brought it down, and he's just going to go through a little bit of on how that went, and then we'll talk about these two mandamuses, what exactly it means, and we'll go through them a little bit. A couple of things I want to go through before we do that. I mentioned this last week. We did get some people who offered us $8,000 to help work out all the cost in this new web setup and Blog Talk and many other things that are involved here. And anyway, they gave us a $8,000 matching grant. I mentioned this last week. And so anybody that can help out with that, so they're going to match dollar for dollar. We do have a goal set up on our webpage on the right side. And we've reached 11% of that goal since we put it up. So that's not too bad because we only put it up earlier this week. Well, I said actually end of last week, I guess it was. So anyway, hopefully we'll be able to reach our goal. We don't particularly have a time period, but, you know, I'd like to do it as quick as possible. And we wasn't given a time on it, so I didn't post the time. Let's see. There are some quirks on the website over the past week. You know, we're just working out all the bugs. It's going to take a little time, I guess, to work them out. Tonight we have some problems again with the text chat. But again, we'll work that out as we go. People might want to help us to pick up our ratings, both on Blog Talk Radio and here on our ratings on our website, maybe by tweeting us. We do have one of them buttons on the top right side of our website where you can go and like us on Facebook or tweet us, and as often as many people that can do that, it'll be helpful to get the word out and get people onto our website. Also, the same thing over on Blog Talk Radio. You know, there is a button where you can push to follow us, and the more people that are following us, the better the ratings. So when you get a chance, people might want to go over there and click on follow us. You might have to log in, so, and I think that only requires a username and password. I don't think there's anything special over there. let's see what else we have here. We're trying to get the word out. We're probably going to be going on to national radio in the next week or two. I've got to make some calls. Now that we have the website up, we should be able to do that, and website should be able to handle whatever load of people might come on during that time period. I know last time we went on a show that was pretty popular. We had a couple of thousand hits on that one day, so I think on a national show it might become pretty heavy, and hopefully we'll get a lot of new people. I know that time we ran, it was, what was the name of that guy? I forget his name. Anyway, I'll think of it. But anyway, we picked up like 120, I think it was 128 new members of that particular day that were on that radio program. The key thing is to try to send as many people as possible to our front page. It's nationallibertyalliance.org. Get them to watch the video just to get an idea of what we're doing. It seems that most people that watch that video, you know, do get involved with us. So I think it lays out the program and the plan pretty good. Also, the state leaders, all of the state leaders on our program, I think we have 32 state leaders. We should have 48. So everybody should go out there and see what state they're in. If we don't have a state leader, maybe you might want to volunteer as a state leader. You can always give that up later if you only want to take it as a temporary thing, and then when someone else comes in, you can give it up to them if you want. But anyway, I guess we'll call them a state coordinator because it's their job really to coordinate all the county leaders together in their state. And we're going to go through a list of different things or authorities that the state leaders or state coordinators have. They have some control on our site. And also they'll be responsible for setting, we're going to give them access to their page where they'll be able to set how many grand juries they have constituted in their state. Now, we haven't kept up to date on that, and I know we have more than this. We have listed up there 3,101 counties. I think that number's wrong, but I'll have to double-check on that. I'm pretty sure it was 3,141. So we're about 4,000, we're about 40 shy. But I'll check in on the statistics on that and make sure that that's correct. And we're showing that there are 55 constituted grand juries in the United States right now. You can go into your states and see how many are in your own state by just going into your, I think, your county page. I think you'll get that information. But in any event, I do know we have more constituted than 55. I just haven't been keeping up on it. And we're going to teach the state coordinators on how to get in to these pages so that they can keep up on that. I think I'm going to hold off till next week to go through the details. On the state coordinators, you'll see that you have editing privileges on certain pages. You might not want to mess with too much until unless you understand what's going on there. But we're going to put together a sort of a classroom type audio. I'm going to be walking through with the guy who built the site for us, and we're going to go through all the details of what authorities they have and how things work, and I'll record that, and then I'll find one individual who's got some computer savvy and maybe go through it personally with that person, and then we'll share with all the state coordinators. If anybody has a problem or a question with those things, they can contact that person. So we're going to work on that this week. I think we might have somebody to take care of that job for us. But anybody that's a state coordinator that's got some technical abilities in computers, send me an email or give me a call tomorrow. Don't send me an email. I'm overwhelmed with emails. A lot of people I know send emails, and often I see an email, you know, directed directly to me, and I just can't get to them all. So I'll do the best I can, only if it's really important. Direct the emails directly to me. Otherwise, go to support@nationallibertyalliance.org. There's a form you can also fill out on our website. You can go to Contacts, and if you click on Contacts, you'll get a page, and you'll be able to fill out a form, put your name, your email, and your message, and that'll go to somebody, and they'll deal with, you know, they'll try to answer your question as good as possible. If they can't answer it, they should be calling me, and I'll give them the answers, and eventually they'll figure things out. But also, you want to talk with your state coordinators maybe first if you have questions. And the purpose of Monday night meetings, this program here on Blog Talk, you know, we try to spend the first hour really kind of teaching things or going over things or reviewing things, particularly, you know, what we're doing, like this mandamus tonight. I think it was a week or two ago we talked about the King's Bench. So we always try to keep a topic going so that people can learn what's going on here in this process that we're involved with and also learn more about common law. So it's extremely important that people come to these Monday night calls. you know, after the first hour, we open up the phones for questions and comments, and that's a good time to ask the questions that you might have instead of calling me up. Now, of course, if it's personal or it's very important or I can't wait, then my phone number's there. But I am getting a lot of calls. I get too overwhelmed sometimes, and I just can't take them all. And sometimes I just I turn my phones off for a while just so I can get other work done. But probably the best time to call me would be in the evenings, maybe about 8 o'clock my time, New York time, except on Mondays, of course, because I'm busy preparing for this meeting. But again, if people have questions and things, bear in mind, probably the questions you have, other people have the same questions. So if you ask the questions here on the Monday night call, a number of people can hear them. So anyway, back to the state organizers. We'll get together very shortly. We'll send out some emails give you a link to a place which will give you information and details on how to work through the controls that are on the website that you have control over. Also, you should be able to download, I don't know if this is available yet. I didn't see it earlier. I saw it before, but I saw it's gone now. So I haven't talked with the tech guy yet, but there should be a place where you'll be able to download an Excel sheet with all of the people within your state. And then, of course, you should be able to share that with any county organizer that asks for it. Of course, you want to share with people you know, so people you were working with, obviously, to get an election going, those are the people you'd be talking to and sharing that information with. Also, we're asking all of the state coordinators, or anybody really, we need a copy of the state, your state constitutions. If you go up to, where is this? I think it's on documents. If you go to documents and you click on state, state constitutions, okay? If you take a look there, you'll see the states that I have the constitutions for. And if your state isn't among them, if you can get me a copy of a PDF, it's a PDF copy I need of your constitution, and you can email it to me. Again, I'm asking people not to email me directly unless it's really important, because I just can't answer all my emails. But if you got a document or anything important, then send me an email. Hopefully I'll get it, but the phone call is the best way to get me, or get me here on Monday nights, or, of course, you can get whoever's in support. And then you can also get a hold of Gerard. But do email me a copy of your state constitution. In the subject line, put in state constitution. Put in whatever your state is, Nevada constitution or Florida constitution or whatever it is. But it has to be a PDF version, and also we don't want anything else attached to it. I know someone sent me a copy of a PDF version of the Constitution of their state, but there were other things in it. I think it had the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and maybe some other things. I don't remember. So I didn't put that up because we just want the Constitution. We already have all the national stuff up on the pages. Also, let's see, I think that's under documents also. Let me take a look. Yeah, it's under common law documents, right? Under documents and common law documents, you'll find the U.S. Constitution and numerous other common law documents. we have the Magna Carta and so on. So if you can, again, send me anybody that can get me their state constitution, send it to me. But check the site often because as I get them, I'll post them right away. And before anyone sends me a PDF copy, double-check the site and make sure that I haven't got it already, that someone else hasn't sent it to me, and if they haven't, then send it to me. We also need a copy of the election laws of your state. You should be able to get that on a, you know, if you look up your state, just put your state in Google, and you'll get a state page, and you should be able to get the election laws up on your state page. But that will be, you can take a look at that. That's over under documents again. It's under state election laws. If you click on that, you'll see what documents we already have. Right now, we only have New York, so we really need every state. But again, before you send it to me, double-check this page to make sure we haven't got it already. So please send that as soon as possible. Also, we're going to ask people, you know, everybody needs to be coming to the website as often as possible, obviously, to learn about common law, to learn about the procedures, the process, and how things are working. We do get a lot of questions, and it's the same questions over and over again, sometimes in email, and sometimes people call me up. And I always talk to people if I get them on the phone, you know, because I believe it's important that we're talking to each other as much as possible on the phones. You know, if you can wait till Mondays to ask these questions, we'll be a lot better off, and I'd be able to have more time to do some other things. Also, if people might want to make our website their homepage, that also will help with our stats, statistics, keeping us up. Our numbers on Google Analytics is really starting to soar. Actually, they've been climbing and climbing, climbing consistently for a month, but now they're really getting to that point. We do have a lot of people who are coming online, a lot of hits. Okay, I think that's about it. Well, network everywhere you can to get people alert to what we're doing and to introduce them to the common law grand jury through our front page. Call your local news. We have breaking news, which we did recently put out, these two mandamuses that was breaking news for us, and anybody who wants to send it to their local newspapers or to national newspapers or any place, you know, get them out. We need to get the word out into the media now. It's time to do that. All right, with that, I guess we'll talk with Gerard. Gerard, are you there? Gerard went up to Greene County today and saw the sheriff and gave the paperwork for delivery. Do you have a few words you want to talk about on that, Gerard? Go right ahead. You got the mic.
Yeah, I could. Well, actually, Tony and I went up together, and the sheriff's secretary or clerk was in there, and we had told her we had two documents that needed to be served on the court next door, and that made her eyebrows go up. And I said, one on the chief clerk and one on the judge. And she was like, kind of perplexed, and she's like, I see the two people, but I don't see who's serving it. I said, it's the heading there. It's the common law grand jury in New York State. And so she was like, oh, and she kind of like hesitated and looked at the papers, and she was trying to read them without really, you know, making it obvious that she was reading the paperwork. And she was acting like confused about what to do with it. Eventually, I said, can't you just walk in and give this to a secretary over there? Why do you have to have us serve it? I said, because things have a habit of ending up in the round file that we serve, and then people claim they don't have them. We're specifically here to have you serve it personally. I want you to hand it to them, each person, personally. That's why we're paying to do this. And she said, oh. And I started making a little bit of small talk about the weather and that. She was very nice, and she collected the $42 to serve both of them. And, of course, the undersheriff about broke his neck looking around the door trying to eye us up to see who was in there, because they've been waiting for the other shoe to drop, I'm sure, you know. So that was that. We got the paperwork, and I gave it to them, and I told her I would be back to pick up the receipt, and I gave her my phone number. And she said she would call me, and I said I would come back to, you know, get the documentation that they actually received it. And so we left it off like that. And I mean, they were very friendly and stuff, so of course it doesn't concern them until it comes time to uphold the law with the sheriff. And I don't think he'll be too keen on that, but we'll see how that goes. So that was it. That was all it was, and it was very simple, and of course they all know who I am. I can't hide, because I've been involved, you know, in politics and stuff in this county, so everybody knows who I am. And you know, I guess I'm the profile of a radical now. You know what I mean? But anyway, we have doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs, and everything. So this whole business of terrorism has gotten to be old in this county. You know, they turned us into Homeland Security and the FBI early on. So now they've already blown that whistle and let that balloon go, so they can't play that anymore. So hopefully things will get better here in Greene County, and hopefully we'll get a seat in the jury room, maybe, if we keep the pressure on. And maybe at some point we'll want people to come up here to Greene County and with their paperwork for all the grand juries that they've constituted, and maybe meet us in the courtroom. So we'll talk about that. And with that, John, I'm going to turn it back over to you.
All right. I guess what we'll do is we'll go through these mandamuses just a little bit. I'm going to read some of it. I don't know how much I'm going to read. It's quite long, and I don't want to spend too much time reading through it. Hopefully people have downloaded this off of our website and have read it already. If you haven't, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org, and on the right side you can click on Breaking News. You'll see a little spinning world that says Breaking News. And if you click on that, you'll see, I think it was dated January 1st. That might have been when I posted it. It was New Year's Day. Let me see. Yeah, January 1st is when I posted it. And it says, from the Unified New York Supreme Court bench to Greene County, New York Supreme Court, mandamus to judge, mandamus to the clerk, final notice to be delivered by sheriff, Monday, January 6, 2014. And that's today, and they got delivery. So we're going to see what's going to happen here. We're going to give them about 5 days. So we'll give them at least through next Monday, and then we'll make the decision where we go from there. If they don't respond, we're going to have them arrested. We're going to do affidavits, swearing to the witnessing of a crime, which is failing to file, which is a crime. Removing from the file, which is a crime, not doing their duty, and not responding when asked questions. They have a duty to answer us, and they have a duty to answer any of the people at any time, even more so when the grand jury comes and asks a question. And silence when they have a duty to speak is a crime because they're hiding something. Okay, a mandamus, for those who don't know what a mandamus is, actually the mandamus, this is what's called a writ of mandamus, and a mandamus is a command, we command. Let me just read the definition. It's Latin for we command. This is the name of a writ, formerly a high prerogative writ, which issues from a court of superior jurisdiction, and is directed to a private or municipal corporation or any of its officers, or to an executive, administrative, or judicial officer, or to an inferior court, commanding the performance of a particular act therein specified and belonged to his or her public official or ministerial duty, or directing the restoration of the complainant, to rights or privileges of which he has been illegally deprived. Okay, so a writ of mandamus, we did look a little bit into this when we were talking about the extraordinary writs off of the King's Bench. The writ of mandamus is an extraordinary writ, and it does come out from the King's Bench, so it comes out from the grand jury. That's where it started, and that's usually where it comes from. Although, in the past, higher courts have served mandamuses on to lower courts. They don't seem to do this anymore because they don't even seem to know what a mandamus is, to be honest with you, in the court systems. I know when we went to get, we did a paper requesting a writ of mandamus that the appellate court command the lower Supreme Court to obey the law, and they even refused to do that. But in any event, they didn't even know how that worked. It took us 9 months to get to the point where we're talking about the writ of mandamus, which we shouldn't even have had to even go up to talk with them. But that's a whole story anyway. I think we covered that in a past program. But anyway, it's a writ to command these people to do what has to be done. And writ is just what it is. It's a precept in writing. And it's couched in the form of a letter. And it's running in the name of the king. In this case, the people, of course, are the king, so it's the name of the people or the king. All right, well, let's just go through a little bit of this. We sent it to two individuals. One was a judge, a Supreme Court judge, and I'll read at least maybe a couple pages. Again, I don't know how much I'm going to read. I may skip through it to different parts. I'm not sure. But it starts off this way. Because New York judges and lawyers are educated at bar schools that instruct seditious statutes as law and are under the delusion that common law has been legislated away and thereby its jury, we find it essential in order to serve both mercy and justice to instruct you in history and law before we command you under penalty of that law. Common law and its juries have not been defeated, just hidden. The enemies of liberty who have taken control of our education just eliminated it from our curriculum along with the classical education. It is first important to understand that a court of record is a common law court in which its judicial tribunal has attributes and exercising functions independently of the person of the magistrate, which is the judge, designated generally to hold it and proceeding according to the course of common law, its acts and proceedings being controlled for being enrolled for a perpetual memorial. A decision of a court of record may not be appealed and is binding on all other courts. And that's a Supreme Court decision, United States, in Jones versus Jones. And there's numerous other court cases. This has been the law of the land since the conception of America. Now, again, we talked a little bit about this when we talked about the King's Bench. The King's Bench is the tribunal. And so the tribunal, whether it be the grand jury or the trial jury, is the final decider, the final arbitrator of the matter. It cannot be second-guessed. It cannot be overturned. It cannot be sent back into the court for another decision because they're not happy with it. It's the end of the matter. The judge does not get to judge. He is just, he's there, he's the magistrate. He's to do the will of the jury. That's his job. And that's common law. And it makes a heck of a lot more sense than the going up to these people who are political animals paid by the state, doing the will of the state and the will of their own greed. And that's about all they're doing in these courts. They're not delivering any justice. Anyway, this letter goes on. The judicial tribunal is the jury, also known as the King's Bench, which is the Supreme Court of common law, according to Black's Law, being so called because the king sat there in person. The style of the court being coram ipso regi. And I believe that means the King's Bench. The New York Supreme Court early on in 1829 confirmed this when it said, "The people of this state, as the successors of its former sovereign, are entitled to all the rights which formerly belonged to the king by his prerogative." United States versus Williams also confirmed that even they could not second-guess the jury when they said, "The judgment of a court of record whose jurisdiction is final is as conclusive on all the world as the judgment of this court would be. It is as conclusive on this court as it is on other courts. It puts an end to the inquiry concerning the facts by deciding it. Inferior courts are those whose jurisdiction is limited and special and whose proceedings are not according to the course of common law. Criminal courts proceed according to statutory law." That's very important to understand that. Criminal courts, whenever you see a court calling themselves a criminal court, they proceed according to statutes, statutory law. Jurisdiction and procedure is defined by the statutes. Likewise, civil courts, admiralty courts, proceed according to statutory law. Any court proceeding accordingly to statutory law is not a court of record. And if it's not court of record, it has no jurisdiction over you. That's an important point to understand, which only proceeds according to common law. It is an inferior court. So a court of record only proceeds according to common law. Now, let me make a correction here. That was not United States versus Williams. That was Ex Parte Watkins, 3 Peter. And that came out of numerous courts have repeated that. Shencloth versus Bustamante is one. If the King's Bench is not present in the court, it is not the Supreme Court of Common Law and has no jurisdiction over the people summoned before it without their consent. So if it's not a court of record, they have to get your consent. If you're being brought in because you're being summoned by the court, would they claim you have a crime or something, if you don't give consent, they have no jurisdiction over you. Of course, it's an uphill battle, but they do work overtime trying to get that consent. Let's see. I'm going to skip around here and just go down a little bit to see where
I might want to pick up,
because this is way too long to read. Yeah.
Go ahead, Rod. I just discovered that if anybody that's on the site goes to the upcoming events on the right side and clicks Blog Talk Radio 24/7 chat, it does work and it does go in there. For some reason, if you click on the top there where it says text chat open 24/7, that one there has the error message in it. So if you go in on the upcoming events, which is tonight's event, January 6th, 9 p.m., the chat works. I'm signed into it. There's a couple people in there, and I was able to write. So go ahead and do that. You can write, and you can listen from in there, and anybody that was having trouble. Okay, I'll get out now.
Okay. All right. I'm just skimming through this paper. Again, it's way too long to read through all of it. And let me see if there's anything
particular. I just want to say that paper has everything in it that we've discovered up until this point. I mean, if you read that paper, somebody that's never been in here before should know exactly what we're doing, because it really lays out our authorities and our philosophy and the reason why and everything. There should be no questions with these two papers. Very, very powerful.
And I'm just going to pick up with a couple of paragraphs here and there. On page 8, we got the idea that common law has been done away with is purely a fantasy of the bar, a fiction indoctrinated in the minds of their minions, a beguilement whose time has come to a sober end by the reality of truth. Law is not a system of statutes, but a system of jurisprudence administered by purely secular tribunals. Jurisprudence is that branch of philosophy concerning with the law and the principles that lead courts to make the decisions that they do, imposed by authority given by the people alone. Judges by their oath are to yield their minds to jurisprudence, and when they refuse to do so, they war against the Constitution, an act of treason. And then we give a lot of different Supreme Court rulings that agree with that position. Judges are under bar-induced delusion that they have absolute immunity. But here in New York, the few self-serving, feeble cases that are cited making such, and by the way, they are self-serving. They rest in no authority at all. They just make it up, and then they try to rest in those cases. And it's really, I'm only aware of one, but I'll give it to them. There might be two. So the few feeble cases that are cited make such a claim are without the authority of the people and will fail in courts of record. Only the people are sovereign. All public servants, judges, prosecutors, DAs, AGs, police, sheriffs, governors, and legislators are under statutes having a fiduciary duty to we the people, their employer, to act in good behavior, to obey constitutional prohibitions, example, the rule of law, placed there by we the people, and are therefore liable for prosecution when they do not behave accordingly. Where there is no jurisdiction, there can be no discretion. They are not above the law when they commit crime, and they will go to jail and are subject to civil suits. Now, of course, we give a lot of authorities behind this and Supreme Court rulings that have upheld this. Let me get down to the bottom and see where we're at. We do list all of the different laws that they have broken. Let me read, I guess, towards the end. This is on page 10, bottom of page 10. We the people now, by the authority invested in us by God, do serve you, Charles M. Taylor, Supreme Court Judge, this judicial notice and mandamus, which you are bound by oath to obey and act upon, informing you that common law is still in effect in every state of the Union, that we the people are forever sovereign, that common law grand juries have been reconstituted throughout New York, that American jurisprudence is to be your guide, that you are to obey the will of the people expressed by this writ of mandamus, that Congress cannot by authorization or ratification give the slightest effect to a state law or constitution which is in conflict with the Constitution of the United States, and that to prevent the true bill filed by this body dated October 11, 2013, proceeding upon its constitutionality, ordained the judicial course is felony rescue and conspiracy to commit high treason. We the people find you, Charles M. Taylor, Supreme Court Judge, in contempt for failing to provide the documents enumerated in the quo warranto dated November 4, 2013, and fine you 50 ounces of silver, and command you again to answer the questions. We the people find you, Charles M. Taylor, Supreme Court Judge, in contempt for refusing to speak to a common law grand jury board of review when you had a duty to speak concerning numerous violations of law enumerated below, and fine you an additional 50 ounces of silver for a total fine for contempt of 100 ounces of silver. And enumerated laws that have been broken listed below: RICO, felony rescue, conspiracy against the Constitution, high treason, U.S. Penal Code 195, official misconduct, New York official Penal Code 195.05, obstruction of government administration in the second degree, New York Penal Code subsection 240.65, unlawful prevention of public access to records, 190.25, New York Penal Code, criminal impersonation in the second degree by pretending to be a public servant without evidence of oath of office, 195.65, New York Penal Code, scheming to defraud in the first degree by engaging in systematic ongoing conduct with intent to defraud, 205.55, New York Penal Code, hindering prosecution, 205.60, same thing, 210.15, New York Penal Code, perjury of oath in the first degree. I'm going to skip the numbers. Bribery to influence any official act, frauds upon the postal service, willful and unlawful concealment, clerk is to file, failure to file, misprison of treason, conspiracy against rights, deprivation of rights under color of law, civil action for deprivation of rights, conspiracy to interfere with civil rights, conspiracy to interfere, well, again, another code. It looks like that one might have been just repeated accidentally. Action for neglect to prevent. Furthermore, you are a servant of the people. Silence can only be equated with fraud, where there is a legal or moral duty to speak, or where an inquiry left unanswered would be intentionally misleading. In this mandamus, we are officially informing you of your dereliction of duties and command you to amend the following. The clerk has failed to perform her duties as required under penalty of New York and U.S. codes. The clerk has not taken an oath as required under New York state constitution, nor has she been informed of her lawful duties. The clerk has admitted verbally and in writing that she has entered into a conspiracy with A. Gale Prudente to obstruct judicial proceedings by obeying an unlawful order instead of performing her constitutional duties punishable under U.S. Code 18, subsection 2071, concealment, and U.S. Code 18, subsection 2076, clerk is to file. A formal criminal proceeding, true, bill dated 11-2013. It is your duty, being the Chief Superior Court, Greene County officer, to make sure official proceedings move forward under penalty of law. Hang on 1 second. I'm just getting a message here from... I'll check that in a minute. And this is the final paragraph. We the people command you, Charles M. Taylor, Supreme Court Judge, to perform said duty and to perform and inform us of that action immediately in writing by fax. You are not to answer through counsel. We find it repugnant and contemptuous for a servant to answer their employer through a third party when commanded to perform and give account of their office. You shall answer to this body directly and immediately, and communications with the indicted conspirators concerning this case of conspiracy against the people and their constitutions will be interpreted as an act of treason. So basically we're telling them not to communicate with these judges that we've already taken and indicted. Give me a second here. I'm just getting some messages that... Okay, I guess they've gotten some problems with the text chat. They're working on it right now. It appears to be working right now. Okay, and we're going to see if we can't get a better chat server. So anyway, anybody that wants to try that text chat right now, I'm going to just double check it myself and see once if I can get in there now and see if it's working. It's taking a little time to boot up, but it looks like I got in there. Okay, looks like I'm in the room. Not sure how many people are in there. Anybody that's in the text chat room that can hear, maybe run a test. I don't see any text in the chat. But anyway, hopefully we'll get this problem settled maybe by next week. So anyway, that's the writ of mandamus that we gave to the judge. Excuse me. The one we gave to the clerk is a lot shorter than that. Maybe we'll read through some of this real quick. It's a total of, how many pages is this? I said, no, that's the wrong one. That's to the judge. Clerk. Okay, this one here is quite short. It's 4 pages. I'm going to read through some of it. Order about October 11, 2013, you, Michelle Carroll. Failed to perform your duties to file under U.S. Code 18-2076 and 2071 a true bill with a demand from this constitutional body that you as clerk perform only ministerial functions and that you as clerk not perform any tribunal functions. The following is our findings and determinations. You, Michelle Carroll, failed to comply with the following U.S. and New York codes. And then we listed all these codes. I'm just going to give just a brief description of them. You failed to trial. You file a true bill dated 11-2013. I'm not going to give the numbers and everything. You failed to perform your duties as chief court clerk. You concealed the documents deposited with you. You obstructed the administration of law. You hindered prosecution. You have failed to report treason. You have remained silent when questioned by this body's investigative board. You have admitted in writing and verbally that you are obeying, therefore siding with, the conspirators. The idea that I was only following orders did not prevail in Nuremberg, and it will not prevail in New York. And then it went through a lot of different other items, high treason, adherence to the enemy, and so on. You have not taken an oath of office, and then I quoted to you in the New York Constitution that requires it. Decency... Security and liberty alike demands that government officials obey the law. Ignorance to the law or following unconstitutional orders does not excuse you from the penalty of that law when you had a duty to act. In a government of laws, existence of the government will be imperiled if it fails to observe the law scrupulously. Crime is contagious. And when government becomes a lawbreaker, it breeds contempt for the law. It invites every person to become a law unto themselves. If you are incapable of understanding these principles or incapable of standing up to would-be tyrants who entice others to break the law for their own gain, you should have removed yourself from the trusted position as chief court clerk. This tribunal is appalled by the fact that your superiors appointed you to a position that requires an oath and an understanding and seriousness of your position and failed to perform their duties to do so. we counsel you to obey the demands within this mandamus under the penalties of law. It appears evident to this tribunal you are being pressured to break the law by Bar Judge A. Gale Prudente and Prudente's bar lawyer, John W. McConnell, in an effort to prevent this constitutional tribunal from going forward in its constitutional duties of the filing of a true bill for high treason and other infamous crimes against the people. Such acts constitute a contempt for justice, a contempt for both the New York and the United States constitutions and the Bill of Rights, a contempt for the people, and a contempt for the bench of this tribunal. They clearly have in mind only to save their own flesh and are willing to deceive you into their growing conspiracy. Therefore, we would counsel you to obey the law of the land, and if you feel necessary, seek legal counsel outside of your place of employment, where there exists no conflicts of interest in this matter. We would also counsel you, for your sake, to find legal counsel that have no bar subservience, keeping in mind you possess no authority to obey anyone but the law, and this tribunal is expressing that law with no uncertain terms. Hiding behind counsel will not save you. It has been conveyed to this tribunal by its investigative board that we show leniency to you because they concluded that you are being used as a pawn. We will trust and accept that advice conditionally as follows. Failure to obey completely will result in a true bill against you. We would first like to inform you of the law, which trumps all counsel to the contrary. And we gave her the quote of New York Constitution, Article 1, Subsection 6, the power of the grand juries to inquire into the willful misconduct and office of public officers and to find indictments or to direct the filing of the information in connection with such inquiries shall never be suspended or impaired by law. And here is the commands. You, Michelle Carroll, are commanded to perform the following under penalty of law and notify this tribunal by fax immediately. Number one, as Chief Court Clerk, you are commanded to request that Judge Charles M. Taylor swear you into office immediately. If he fails to do so, find another judge and inform us. Number two, as Chief Court Clerk, you are commanded to file the true bill delivered into your trust on or about October 11, 2013. We will send a carrier to pick up a certified copy of the same. Number three, as Chief Court Clerk, you are commanded to notify the appropriate news media concerning the filing of said true bill. Number four, as Chief Court Clerk, you are commanded to personally take said true bill to Judge Charles M. Taylor for immediate process. Number five, as Chief Court Clerk, you are commanded to notify this tribunal immediately if Judge Charles M. Taylor refuses to perform his ministerial duties. Number six, if you are intimidated by anyone to not perform your above duties, you are to perform them regardless and notify us immediately. We, the people, command you, Michelle Carroll, to perform the above said duties and to inform us of each and every action immediately in writing by fax. You are not to answer through counsel. We find it repugnant and contemptuous for the servant to answer their employer through a third party when commanded to perform and give account to their office. You shall answer to this body directly and immediately. Any communications with the indicted conspirators concerning this case of conspiracy against the people and their constitution will be interpreted as an act of treason. Okay. I pretty much almost read the whole thing. I just didn't go through all the numbers and everything, the codes. But that's pretty much it. Those are the two mandamuses. Those are the two orders. That's what these people are facing and are up against, and they need to obey. And if they refuse to obey, the next move is to have them arrested. And again, you know, this is kind of like a chess game. You know, it's very difficult to try to get those four judges that we've already indicted, arrested. First of all, paperwork didn't go through the process. It's being stalled. And even as it's going through the process, it's up to the court now to do the process. It's judicial process. And apparently they're failing on doing this because it's their own. And so now we have these other two individuals who have broken the law, by not doing their job, that is, filing the paperwork, sending it through the process. That's a crime on its own. That's a crime that we can easily show. That's a crime that we can take sworn affidavits of witnesses who saw the crime being committed and take that with the law and take it to the sheriff, and they have no choice but to arrest. There is no choice in the matter. If there's anything a cop knows, is that they're following the law. They got these statutes. You know, they're all about the law. They quote these different things that they've been trained in. You know, they're trained in a lot of traffic stuff. But they're trained in a lot of stuff, and they'll go to their books or they'll go to their superior to get the details. But they follow the law, and they don't interpret it. They just do it. And this is going to be no different. It's going to be real difficult for these people to not follow the law in this case. I don't think that they have a choice. Okay, with that, Gerard, have you got anything to add to any of this? Gerard, you still with us?
I'm sorry, I was answering questions in the text chat and stuff. You know, I'm on, somebody went in there and said that they repealed 18 USC.
I checked that out. I couldn't find that.
No, I don't see it. There's something in there about somebody was found innocent. They talk about a case. I'm on Cornell Law now, so I don't see that was repealed. I see that somebody was convicted under it and it was overturned.
Well,
they
may have appealed some parts of it, too, because I remember they made it stiffer in the sense that some of these penalties went, you know, they had them limited at 5,000 or 10,000,
right.
And they made them unlimited in some areas, or they went up in the amounts or something. And that might have been what they were looking at in the 50s.
Right. That was, they made them stiffer like in 2000, if I remember correct. It's not that long ago, you know.
Well, yeah, I did look into these numbers when, you know, you told me about it, and I did get an email from somebody, and I went out and looked and went Cornell University, and those laws are still up there. Those codes are still there. They have not been taken down. So I don't know where they got that information from.
Right. So I don't know. I was looking, and I went on the site just now while you were talking, and I actually didn't see that. At any rate, they're not supposed to remove papers from a court. I don't care if there's a U.S. code or not. You know what I mean?
Right.
That has to be illegal.
Well, there's
way.
New York codes,
that's
too.
An official document. Yeah, you can't go taking papers and not filing them and all that. It's darn near common sense that you can't do that. You know, I mean, look, if they sent our papers back that time, we said you put them back immediately. And they
did.
Yeah,
they don't want anyone, you know, it was very clear when they set this up, and this was set up 200 years ago, the judicial process we have, the procedures that we have going through the filing process has been unchanged for 200 years, and it's the same in every court. And these laws were written, not only U.S. codes, but also New York codes, and I'm sure every state has got the same thing, codes in their state. I know California does, because I saw them. But these codes require that nobody has the decision-making of removing a file that is filed. It has to go through its judicial process. If they don't like it, they can appeal it to the court system that it's within. But they cannot stop it. They cannot hide it. They cannot remove it. They can't destroy it. They can't refuse to file it. There is absolutely no authority for anyone to do any of those things. And that's the law. And that's what we're counting on. When people ask us, you know, what is your enforcement? That's the enforcement. Right there, that's the enforcement. And when we go down to see this sheriff, okay, and if that's where we're going to end up being, if these people are not going to obey, then we go down and see these sheriffs. They have no choice but to do their duty. And we will let them know if they start to hesitate on it, then we're going to go to their undersheriff to have them arrested for failing to do their duty and to become part of this crime and part of this conspiracy, if that's what they want. But anyway, let's take one step at a time. We'll give them till next Monday. Next Monday we will talk about what our thoughts are and the actions for that coming week. And hopefully we'll have them executed before the following Monday, and we'll have some answers. All right, meanwhile, let's take some calls. And a couple of things before we take calls. It's time to really get organized. We got to get the counties elected. Look at everybody, if there's one person in the county, that's all you need. Get going on it. get some support from your state coordinator. Get some support from other county coordinators. Get some support from people in your county. Just get two people together with you, minimum. Put it out there. Try to get as many as you can. But if just three people show up, that's fine. That's all you need is three witnesses. Two to three witnesses is what's required. We prefer three. We really push for three. Okay? But you get your three witnesses, and you do the process. It takes a half hour. It's not a big thing. You fill out the papers. You get them notarized. And you hold on to them for filing. You don't have to file them right away. You file them together with a cluster of other counties. And if they've already started filing in your count, in your state, Florida is filing, and they're filing heavily now. So if you're in Florida, let's get it done in the counties that aren't done and file right away. Get a hold of the leadership of the other counties. Get a hold of Hagen down there. Pennsylvania is filing all over the place. If you're in Pennsylvania, let's get going. Let's get filing. Let's get it done. New York, we've stopped in New York. I don't know. I haven't been paying attention to New York. It's time to get New York up and going again. Any New York leaders out there, let's get moving on New York. Give me a call tomorrow. Let's get New York done. We have leaders in every single county save eight. We have 62 counties. We have leaders in what, 54 counties? We can get 54 counties done in a week and a half, 2 weeks, if the leadership of this state gets going. We have 19 or 21, I think it's 19. We have 19 elected grand juries in New York State. We have 19 leaders who have taken the step to go forward. Those 19 leaders should be helping the other leaders in other counties. Let's get going. Call me tomorrow. Let's get working. We have three organizers in this state. It's time to get up and let's get our work done. Let's get it done. We've got a lot of commitments in the central part of our state and in the northern part of our state. But no one's followed up on those people who have committed to go forward in at least five counties north of us and at least a half a dozen counties in the central part of our state. They're ready to go. Let's get them moving. I want to really, you know, encourage people to let's get this done. This is the only way America is going to become saved. Only the people can save America. And if you don't get up and save America, she's going to be lost. I am really very surprised that we're still here talking on the Internet. In 2014, extremely surprised. But I'll tell you what, I don't think there's much time left. I don't think we have all of 2014. So let's do it. Let's save America for your posterity, for your friends, your neighbors, your family, and for you and for me. Let's save America. All right, let's take our first.
Hey, call. Reinheimer says 13 county elections in the next 30 days in Maryland. So let's see. Let's keep going.
Okay.
That's good.
Let's do it. Now, we got the numbers up on our website. You can see how many counties have been clicked in. Now, again, these numbers are not accurate. We'll try to get them accurate within the next week. I don't know that we can get them accurate until the state leaders start to take control of the power that they have on our website. And again, you'll see edit buttons and different pages and different abilities to do things. I don't know that you want to do much of anything until you know what you're doing, and we're going to go through a little course on that, hopefully within this week sometime. We'll be notifying everybody, and next week we'll talk a little bit about some of the authorities that we've given out to the state leaders, and it's quite a bit. They've got access to a lot of different parts of the site, particularly on their state level. They have the ability to do mass emailing to various groups, to everyone in their state or to just the leaders of their state, and also I think we set it up so that each state leader can actually communicate with all other state leaders. So we'll go through all those things this week. Hopefully we'll send an email out. As soon as we got it down pat, we'll send an email out and kind of bring you to a place where you can start learning how this stuff works. You also have a blog area on every state area. You have a calendar, I think, on every state area. Let me see. Let's see what exactly we got. Okay, we also have a find law on most of the states. So you can find law in your state. There's a button on the top of your state page. You got a blog that the state coordinator would be in control of. You got a list of jurists, and you also have a message board. So each state has those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things on it. Some states are missing find law because there's a few states, I think maybe about a half a dozen of them, we couldn't find or find law in their state. But we're still looking, and if we find them, we'll put them up. And also, of course, they will have authority. Well, we'll talk about other things at a later point, because I'm not too sure. I know I have a list of things, and I'm not sure exactly what's been affected and what's not. So, anyway, let's take the calls. Who's first, Rod? Gerard? Should I just start pushing buttons and get ourselves in trouble? I guess so. 832-623. You got the mic. You're unmuted.
Hello?
Yep. How you doing?
Yes. Hello, John?
Yes.
Yes, you remember we talked yesterday, and I gave you ideas about this grand march that is going to be coming up in Washington, D.C., and just an idea that action like is being taken place, and I think this has a great opportunity to go viral. Sharing.
Right. I spoke a little bit with the colonel, the guy who's putting this together. He's a retired colonel, I think, or is he a general? I forget.
No,
but
he's the Colonel Harry Riley.
Right, that's the guy I spoke with. I sent him an email with some information. I told him I would. I think I copied you and I copied someone else. I know
right.
I copied Gerard with it, and I think I copied you it, and I might have copied another person. But anyway, I also told him we'd be interested in looking in what he's doing. I do have that information on my webpage I want to go look at and read, and make sure I understand what he's doing and find that I can agree with it, and it would be something for us to share with the people here. And if it is, I told him we would allow him to be a guest for a speaker for a little while, next week maybe, or whenever he wants. You know, we can give him 10, 15 minutes or something and discuss it and see once if the people that are working with us want to participate. But if you want to give a little bit of an idea what it's about, I think it's a march on every
it's
capital.
It's a march, right. And what I did is I sent you a group page to join and already added you to it. It's called General Supporters of General Vallely. And if you click on it, you'll get like the latest updates and updates that is happening. But what I also do know is that it's going to be followed up by what the most important thing is that we have to. It's all about trying to gather as many patriotic organizations and groups like the 3 percenters, and holding rallies like at the county level. And then at the state level, there's gonna be a march on the Capitol, on all the capitals. And that is going to be sometime in April. I don't know the exact date. And then the one in Washington is going to be on May the 16th. And I think that this is a great opportunity as far as reaching out to all these groups and sharing them about the National Liberty Alliance and joining the common law grand jury. So this way, it will be a great opportunity and to be prepared in terms of timing and everything and share with everyone.
That's good. That's correct. And, you know, I see a good opportunity here because he's looking to really get a group of people. And I know some of these people are sheriffs, and some of these people are ex-military, and some of these people are military. And, of course, there's a lot of us, just regular people out there. And they're concerned. They've already got their fingers on the pulse, so to speak. So if what this guy is doing pans out to be a good thing, because, again, I want to be careful. I do want to look into this deeper. But if it pans out to be something that we'd want to get involved with, it may be advantageous for us to get involved with because we will have the opportunity maybe to bring a lot of new people on board quickly through this one group because I believe we may be looking at millions. I did look at some of the web pages that you had sent me, And a couple of them maybe didn't have very high ratings, but they were okay. They were a little impressive. But
right.
there was a few that were very high ratings. I mean, these people, no
right.
doubt, have millions of people visiting their sites.
I sent you another group to join, and
We'll get into that later, and what we need to do, you and I need to get together. I know you've been trying to call me. I've been extremely busy. I've been out of the office all day today. I wanted to be at my desk, but I wasn't. And of course, I've been sick a lot, and I know you were calling me then, too. We did talk a little bit. I'm really going to try to get on with you tomorrow. I'm really, maybe in the late afternoon, early evening, I'll try to contact you. We'll go through details. I don't have the time to go through the learning curve of getting involved in all these groups. So we'll work something out, and you could be the representative for National Liberty Alliance to get us out there into these groups and get our names going and work us through these different organizations and groups like Facebook and whatever other, I guess, medias you would call them. But we'll get into those details tomorrow. Anything else particular then?
No, that sounds good. That's all I had to add. All I was basically trying to mention is that this is how you form making a grassroots, trying to reach as many people is by being aware of these groups and just sharing the National Liberty Alliance. I think it's the smartest way to go viral and reach millions of people.
Okay.
And that's
what all right.
I'm sure.
Let's work on that strategy. We'll try to get more detail tomorrow. We'll try to get Gerard involved, and maybe he can get a little involved with you. I don't have too much time to really get too involved in that part of the networking. I get too many other things going in a different direction and on the site. But well, let's get something going. We'll talk tomorrow, okay?
Okay, sure.
All right, let me take our next caller. Gerard, are you back? You want to take me through this? I guess it's 406-570. I'm just going to go right down the line. 406-570.
That would be
go ahead. You got the mic.
This is Wolf in thank you. This is Wolf in Bozeman, Montana.
How you doing?
I'm going to play the devil. Pretty good. How are you? I hope you're getting better on your colds.
If I complain, no one listens.
That's about the truth. I'm going to play the devil's advocate as I've been playing all over the state of Montana. We have a very large movement and making a constitutional initiative of what you're trying to do civilly. What if the undersheriff refuses to arrest the sheriff? What if
maybe we'll go to a sheriff next door.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
That's my point. Yeah, I can hear you. I just want to make sure.
That is
the situation that we are running to here in Montana.
Right, but you got to understand. You got to understand something. This whole thing is a chess game, okay? Hopefully people are watching New York in order to see what they're going to do when they get into their state and start pushing this along. And also watch what's going on down in Florida, because Hagan is doing some things down there, and he seems to have a good strategy also. We have the kind of the same strategy, but we're doing it differently. So we have a couple of ways you could do the same thing. But the key thing is this, is the pressure. We chose Greene County for a reason. We just happen to be doing a lot of business up in Greene County in the common law, and they kind of are scratching their heads over us. So the county was chosen strategically. It's also a county that's outside of far enough out of the metropolitan area, out of the New York City. It's far enough up north from them that they're not too affected by that, because the two main judges we're going after is down New York City. Now, the whole thing is strategy. There is no doubt these people fear us. There's no doubt about it. When I go in there and talk to these people, they clam right up. They answer every question, but they don't give me a hard time. When they try to overtake me, I take them right back, and they become very, they just quiet down, and they listen, and they do answer every question. You could tell they're nervous. There are some questions they kind of answer in a roundabout. They don't really come out and say, because they're hiding something, because they're guilty of something. That's why. And that's why we did the mandamus, and we did it the way we did. Now, we did it to serve by the sheriff to really, kind of shake them up, number one. Number two, I think the language was pretty strong, and I know that they're scared and worried as it is, So it's a lot of psychology, a little bit of chess playing, but also nobody knows what the next guy is going to do. Nobody knows what our next real move is. We have other moves that we can do after, if the sheriff doesn't go forward. We've got a few things we're thinking of. We're not going to reveal them at the moment, but there are some other things. But first we're going to go down the line and see and make sure that they obey the Constitution, obey the law. They have to be arrested by another officer if they break the law themselves. They have a duty, okay? And we're going to pressure them on the duty. Now, Gerard's had dealings with this particular sheriff.
We actually have a citizen's arrest on the law.
By the way, there's a lot of interference coming through your telephone. Is there something in the background there?
Nope. It's completely quiet here. But like I said, we have remedy
here in Montana, and it's called the Citizens Arrest. And we are forming an active group to effect that. But we are coming from the prospect of the U.S. Constitution, as that is the ultimate governing law of the United States of America. And to alter each state's constitution.
Gerard, is that you with all that noise? Go ahead.
Okay. What we are going to do is put on the books the People's Grand Jury, in which all grand juries of any charge brought by an agent or an agent of a government is presented to a grand jury before an arrest. We're, like New Hampshire, we're going to introduce and push forward the Fully Informed Jury Act. And then the final thing we are going to do is bring forward the People's Protection Act, which will strip judges of independent review and police officers of internal investigations. Now we've taken back the power. And that's where I'm really have a challenge with what's going on at the National Liberty Alliance, is because they have the power right now. The people that I have in this county who speak with me and talk with me over this matter have doubts that you're going to have any teeth enforcing these law agents to do anything. And I guess that is something that a lot of people have turned away from the National Liberty Alliance, because you're filing all these mandamuses, you're filing all of these very strong words, and you're actually
Hold it a second. You may be correct about some people, but you can't say a lot of people. But the other thing, we're not following a bunch of mandamuses. This is the first time we're following mandamuses. We'll do two of them. We just done them now. And this is to two people who we will indict after. We promised them in our mandamus. We promised them. We didn't threaten them. We didn't say we might. We promised them we are going to indict them if they did not fulfill their duties. And we will indict them, and we'll see what happens then. But after we indict them, we will then take that down to the sheriff along with the sworn affidavits of the laws being broken. You got to understand, I don't know if you realize that these are laws that are being broken by this judge and by this clerk, and that sheriff has a duty to arrest them. It's not that they'd like, might, or maybe, or should. No, they got to. If they don't, then they're breaking the law. Now, I like some of the things you're talking about, and I'd like to maybe talk, maybe get together and get into some conversation on some of these things, and try to get a better understanding.
Well, I would gladly talk with you on that, but we've already been where you were at down here in Gallatin County, and our sheriff has told us he flat out refuses to arrest a judge. He says we can by the law, but he won't, because he is a sworn officer of the court.
Well, What charges are brought up against the judge that he's refusing to enforce?
Well, there's the one that everybody's been watching, the Montana mountain man, Ernie Talgett. The judge violated 12 points, which I have filed a recall against her, but they're stalling me on that. But the first and foremost is that she sat an omnibus hearing, and then less than 30 days later, because Montana law says 30 days, no less than 30 days, a trial may be set. She set one in 21 days. So that's the very first law that she violated. She violated
They are not. No sheriff in their right mind is going to go up after a judge for that kind of stuff. As much as a breaking the law that it is, they're not going to do it. First of all, we're talking about sheriffs that are as dumb as we are, okay? We're starting to get a little enlightened because we're starting to go through this process and learn what's going on and understand it and learn common law and the procedures and the processes. Okay, so we're going to get to know things better. But these sheriffs, they don't even know what the Constitution says. They have to go to a lawyer to get it interpreted. How much more are you going to try to convince a sheriff that they need to arrest someone because of a decision in a courtroom? They're not going to get involved in that. They're not sophisticated enough to get involved in that.
But the point is that it is a law in the books.
Absolutely.
It is a law that if you or I broke, we would go to jail. So I agree that we need to do something.
But it's not as clear as what we're talking about. We're talking about codes that are very simple to understand. Here it is. It's very simple. The clerk is to file under penalty of law 1 to 3 years in prison. They are to file. They don't have a choice, no arbitrary power, no judicial powers of any kind to resist, reject, refuse, or anything. They are to file. The other thing is once it's filed, it can't be stopped. Anybody who stops the process, there is laws both on New York and U.S. that require the process to go forward. And anybody who interrupts that process, buries that process, removes it from that process, is facing time in jail. And anybody who intimidates someone to do it, this I believe was written for a judge, if a judge intimidates the clerk to do something illegally, to stop, destroy, remove, send back, or anything, 20 years in jail. 20 years. This is clear. This is clear code. When you have affidavits swearing that this happened, then you show the code, which requires a penalty of jail time, therefore an arrest is necessary. This is a no-brainer for the sheriff. This is nothing for him to interpret.
That's what we've already done. We've done that, and it's done with different cases, not the one on Ernie, but over a dozen different cases we have brought where the clerk of court has not filed, refused to file, stopped filing, given the papers to attorneys, assigned attorneys to cases, and judges have issued summary judgments of dismissing the case with prejudice based upon this clerk of court's action, or this clerk's action. And guess what? The sheriff looks at us and goes, there's no law broken.
Well, okay. Well, first of all, what papers were refused to be filed?
Let's see. This all started with the mortgages about 2 years ago when they were robo-signing mortgages. So it's too long to go into detail on this, but these were official court documents. These were motions. These were motions for discoveries. These were
It's too obscure for the sheriff. He's not sophisticated enough.
Okay.
It's too obscure. Right.
And when you bring those papers in, do you bring them in with a sworn affidavit saying that making the complaint?
In the county of Gallatin, there are only two people who have the official capacity to notarize these types of records that go on the books. So therefore, we have those done. We have been going through this since 2010. We have been doing this for different cases, different actions, and the greatest thing that they use is they dismiss a case under Rule 12b-6. So, I mean, we have been fighting this from all kind of angles, and that's why we're moving forward on a different avenue. I understand what you're saying, and we do file everything with an affidavit. We put affidavits on the record. We go down to the county court or to the courthouse, and we put them as a matter of public record because we're allowed to do that in the state of Montana. And we make this all as lawful, not legal, as lawful as everything allows and can be done, and they just ignore us. I mean, such as the right
to...
Well, a couple
of things. Number one, I'm not sure on the clarity of the law that's being broken, that these people may be sophisticated or not sophisticated enough to figure out, number one. And what they do often is if they don't understand it, what's the first thing they do? They go talk to the minions. And the minions certainly go tell them to stay away from that. Okay, so that's a major problem for us. Okay, we have to separate them from the minions. We have to let them know first and foremost. And first of all, the law's got to be clear. It's like someone passing a red light. As far as they're concerned, it's clear that the law has been broken. That's something that they think is the case. But nevertheless, to them, it's clear because they've been given the directives. This is what you do here, and this is what you do there. But this, I think these laws that are being broken that we're talking about right now is very clear, okay? With that, with an affidavit, and in showing them that they have a constitutional duty. If they want to go talk to a minion, that's fine, but it doesn't matter. Whatever that minion says, if you do the unconstitutional thing by disobeying the law, then we're going to go after you. And look, we're going to threaten them if we have to with indictment also. We'll give them a mandamus. A mandamus is a we command you. We command you to do this thing. And if they want to disobey a mandamus, then we have the ability to find them. We have the ability to indict them.
Well, I'm fixing to file a mandamus in a recall where they've refused me the right to recall, and I'm going to file that and force it in, but I'm also going to file a constitutional challenge. We're doing everything that we can, and we would like to be able to work with you on this, but I know
you're in Montana. Are you grand jury set? Are you set up as grand juries?
We are supposedly on the 11th of this month. Two coordinators, one in Park County and one in Gallatin County, are setting up the grand jury. We're going to go down there and we're going to speak to them.
Yeah, but we are teaching everyone not to do any indictments or chase anything down or try to push or pressure anybody into anything other than to get into the court. Everything we're doing, every indictment we're going after, every pressure we put on any person or threat of arrest or anything has to do with those blocking us, we the people, from getting a seat in the grand jury. You don't want to chase anything down. What your fight, there's only one battle for us to battle right now. That's to get authority. Until we have authority, we're not to do anything else, nothing else. Now, once we get authority, we still can't go after cases until we first deal with the judge. You know, we have to bind the strong man with the chains of the Constitution. That strong man is the judge. We have to bind him down, make him understand he is now turning from corporate law to constitutional law. And if he doesn't like it, there's the door. And once you put that law down under the threat of indictment, if that's what you have to do, you also have to do the same thing with the prosecutor. You got to make him understand in no uncertain terms. Don't think you can go and pull yourself a grand jury. You need a grand jury, you come see us. Don't think you can go and try to pull together. Usually it's the judge that does this, though, in New York anyway.
In Montana,
don't try to pull
in Montana
the,
it's a district judge. Only a district judge can call a grand jury in the state of Montana
well,
by
New
code.
York, in New York, it's the prosecutor. But the judge pulls the trial jury. They don't get that no more.
Yeah.
That's what we the people's job is to do. So we do it. They can call for it, but they call us for it. We will impanel them and send them down. Now, and we will, you know, orientate them so they know what the law is and what their powers are. But the bottom line, okay, you have to first, you gotta get the judge under control, you gotta get the prosecutor under control, and you gotta get the sheriff to understand who you are and develop a relationship with the sheriff. Once you've done that, now you're working with your other counties to make sure they lock in the same thing. You see, we have to save the republic first. I know a lot of people and a lot of cases that need help, but we're not to put our attention to that until we secure the republic. We have to secure the state of New York. You have to secure the state. I think you're in Montana. You have to secure Montana. I have to secure New York. We have to secure Jersey. Once we're secured and we got everybody under control, we've taken care of a lot of the basic problems within the state. That may take a month to do. Now you're open for business to deal with problems. And, you know, you got to deal with other people's problems, not our problems first. We can't have any pet peeves. We have to follow the people. Let the people bring it to us because they'll bring everything to us. Once they know we're there, they'll bring everything to us. And then we'll deal with those cases. I've got a lot of cases myself that I need to deal with, but once we get a common law court back in our counties, I could take my cases. I'll take them through the regular court system myself and do my own lawsuits. I don't necessarily need to come to the grand jury for me. I mean, and you may be the same way. But you see, once that judge is required to go common law, you have the opportunity now to win your case, whether you do it through the criminal, do it through the court of record, through the grand jury, or whether you do it yourself.
I guess that's where we're differing on this path that we're taking, and we're trying a different
path.
We're going to constitutionally bind the judges that all proceedings that are brought by the state or one of its agents must be brought to a grand jury.
Absolutely.
Period.
We agree.
Because the statutes are already on our books of the grand jury, we need to actually remove that statute. So, yeah, I can see where we can work together and what we can do, and I see that there are other people that want to talk, so I'll let them go.
Right.
But the bottom line
is we have
to get the power.
We have the same ideas, though, in this. We need to bind down that court and bring it back to a common law court, period. Okay, just a common law court. That's what it is. If it's going to be some other court, then the two groups that are coming together to make a battle somehow in some other court, that's what they want to do. That's their prerogative, and they want to put a judge to make the decision, and they write it up. That's how they want to do it, then that's fine, you know. But generally speaking, civil court and criminal court, there really is no difference between the two. They're all common law. So if you file a paper and do something, maybe a breach of contract, that's under common law, okay? It's guided by the contract, the agreement you made, but it's common law. And if you cover it in criminally, it's common law.
Yeah, but that's between two private parties. We're talking about stripping the government of their power to come in and say, we believe you've committed a crime, therefore we are arresting you, putting you in jail, making you spend $50,000 to $100,000 to defend yourself. What you and I do between each other as private citizens is common law. What they're doing to us is criminal, and this is why we're trying to strip them of their power so that
But again, I don't know if you've been following along with how we've been trying to set things up, but again, everything is common law. There's no such thing as a criminal court and a civil court separated inside of common law. Common law is common law, period. If you bring a civil case in other words, a contract case, it's still common law, and it's between the two parties. The grand jury doesn't get involved in that. There's no need for that. Now, if you're coming in from the other side where crimes have been committed, it's still common law. That's where the grand jury gets involved. The grand jury gets involved when it's asked to get involved by the state, or if it finds its own crime, or if someone else comes and two people want to go through the arbitration through a grand jury instead of going to court, they could do that too, and it could be settled. I haven't really given much thought to that, but I don't see why it couldn't be done. I think the grand jury's got to take a lot more arbitrary authorities than it's ever had, and we have the authority and the right to do it because we are the people. But one of the things
we
teach here that's very important is that we don't go on witch hunts. We're good with them as long as they obey the law. We know that their skeletons will find them later. We don't have to deal with that now. As long as they're obedient, we're good. From this point forward, that's how we got to deal with it.
There'll also be cases that we won't let judges decide. We'll have to have private attorney generals. The judiciary is never going to fix itself. The grand jury has to fix it. And when it's a big case, it's going to take a private attorney general. It's going to take that tribunal to fix it. You can't let a judge be that be-all, say-all, because we know it doesn't
work. Well, the judge doesn't get any. The judge doesn't get any
option. The second pretense we're doing is the Fully Informed Jury Act. Judges should never, ever have any say over any case, only a jury.
That's right.
At that point.
That's right. That's right.
And that's why we don't want to go. We just want to simply force the courts to obey the grand juries. That way no false prosecution can occur. And if prosecution does move forward, if a grand jury decides that there is enough evidence to move forward to a trial, we want to force, like they did in New Hampshire, to clearly state that the judge has the right to inform the must inform the jury that they have the right to judge the validity of the law itself. So, I mean, I think we're working toward the same goal. I just think we're going at it in different ways, and hopefully we can find some good common ground over this, because I'd really like to take our country back before martial law hits. Anyway, I know other people are calling. Thank you
All
for
right.
giving me this much time, and let's go forward.
Okay,
thanks.
Yeah. All right, we'll go to the next caller.
You got over 11 people here, yeah.
Okay, I don't know. This is a number that's been blocked, 111111. So anyway, you should be hearing at your mic because you've been unmuted. Go ahead, whoever you are.
Hi, John.
Yes.
This is Rosanna.
How you doing, Rosanna?
Hi, okay. Listen,
I saw you got a good ruling there, huh?
Well, yeah, but that's happened a couple years ago, but I thought you might want to post it on the... I put it on the highest forum, but I didn't know if you'd want to post it on the fine law, in the fine law.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about it and see if we could put it up there, but maybe we'll talk offline about it.
Okay, and of course, by winning that's what started all my problems. That's where power started going on. They all, once you win something, you're done after that. You can't win anymore.
Right.
You only get one win if you get one win. You know what I mean? Are you still there?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to figure out...
Okay. I'm having trouble with the news site. I like the news site. But right now, my access is denied. I'm having to call in. I can't get on my computer. It said something about a password. I'm not messing up on my password. I know what it is. But
have you re-registered on the line? You've gotten in once already?
Oh, yeah, many times. And then they sent me a thing in the email to come back in and give a new one. But then it's blocking me. It says access is denied.
Did you wait over 24 hours? Because it's only good for 24 hours.
I just now did it. I didn't let it expire.
Yeah, okay. Well, try it again, and if you continue to have problems, let me know. You know, give me a call or something. Well, actually, let me think about this. Give me a call. I'll try to help you with it. But here's the key thing, and this is probably what you've done. This is good for other people who are having problems also. If you've already been registered on a website, okay? Now, we never had a login on the other website. We just had people register, okay? But here we have a login, and the register and a login is one and the same. So when you are coming from, if you've already registered on the site, you need to come onto the new site, click on login, put in your email, and then click the button above that says send me a new password. Now, once you do that, they'll send you an email with a link to go and create or change your username and password. So you'll go in there and you change your username and password and you save it and you have access into your information also. You can change the information in there if it's necessary. And that's it. Now, once you log in once, you should automatically come onto the website automatically.
I've been in many times, and just tonight I can't seem to get when I'm coming on the show. When I went to plug, click on from the website, I was getting the recording from last week. I couldn't get tonight's show. I couldn't get on. So I tried to call on the phone.
It's Monday night. That's why. We've been having this problem for 2 months now. It doesn't matter where we go, we have problems.
Okay.
Now it just may be coincidental. You got to bear in mind, it's a new site. It's just been frameworked out. There are bugs in it. We're going to look for another, the tech sent me a message that maybe we'll look for another chat program and put a new chat program in there. I'll talk with him about that tomorrow. And hopefully next week the problem will be solved. Meanwhile, everyone hopefully knows that if you can't get into the chat room or can't get things going on our website, you can go out to Blog Talk and get into that chat area, or you could just make the phone call and get on. You can call in and just listen in through the phone.
That's what I'm doing right now, but I couldn't get on the computer.
People need to just bear with us all.
Okay, so anyway, and also, I can't, ever since I have been on, though, the many times I have gotten in, I can't, when you get into your state and get in your county, it doesn't list the organizers. It doesn't list anybody.
Well, I've been trying to tell everybody that these things haven't been totally worked out, and they may have been worked out.
Okay.
I was on there tonight, and it does look like they got some of this stuff already done up. But I told people last week that we haven't been totally finished off with the state areas, and particularly with the state coordinators. And I think the state coordinators are all done now. The county coordinators, I think, are done now. I did get a message that the download for the the Excel download is now available. It was available before. It had disappeared, but I understand it's available again now. After tonight's program, I'll go look, and I'll be talking with the tech. I was supposed to talk with the tech earlier today, but I got called out of the office, and I've been out on the road all day. I didn't get home till about 7:30. So
I just want to make sure I'm not the only one having problems here. That's just why I was just bringing it up, because I just want to make sure that it's universal, not just me.
Right. Well, I don't want to be paranoid or anything, so we'll just say that it's probably just coincidental that these things are happening, and we'll get them fixed. If they don't get fixed after a couple more weeks, then I got to start to get paranoid a little bit, thinking that there are other forces doing this.
Right. Okay, and then two other things. I'm setting up I'm already setting up right now as we speak this week, the library thing. So I'll be holding my meeting, I think it's February the 1st, so in Ohio. So I'll be doing ours and getting the paper signed, getting the jury signed up, and then ready to, march or send in to the courthouse, okay? Here's one other thing I want to tell you. Now, you know my situation going on in my life, but that's in a different county of where I live, all right? So I'm setting up my county of where I live. Where I live, the clerk of courts has been found, she was up for financial fraud and all, so she's been taken out of office, and the person they got to replace her is an ex-judge.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing her job right now as the clerk of courts, an ex-judge, if you can believe that. But I just wanted to tell you what, that's a little scary.
Yeah, well, I don't even know. Excuse me, I still got some of this cough, but I don't know what to say here on that. I don't know. Whether that would be a conflict of interest. He's an ex-judge, so he's just taking on a different job. Do you think it's a conflict of interest?
Well, I believe he's retired, and if he's retired, he's getting his retirement fund, and then he's now making money as the clerk of court. So I don't know.
I don't know either. I really don't know.
Okay. Anyway, that's just what's going on here. So just as long as I know about the website, I'm not the only one. We're okay. And I'll try to get back in again tomorrow or something and see if I can get back in.
Yeah, hopefully people will bear with us on this. And, these Monday night meetings are extremely important to bring people up to date, teach something new, and also to have questions and answers and comments and thoughts and just to go forward with things. And if people are not participating with this, then they're really not doing their due diligence in what they have to do, because we have to become educated. And I will tell you, I know firsthand, absolutely, okay? I'm just going to ask you to take my word on this. There's a lot of misinformation out there, a lot of misinformation. And I don't care what group you go to, they got a lot of great stuff, but there'll be pieces of information that are just wrong for whatever reason, okay? Could be someone just didn't do their homework. It could be the enemy getting in there doing things. I don't know, and I'm not going to try to evaluate that. But the bottom line is this. Whatever we're doing right here at National Liberty Alliance, we're doing it after and through research, okay? And we're trying to really be as accurate as we can. And so sometimes when people want to go a different direction and we try to bring them back to this different direction that we're going into, they kind of get hard-headed sometimes because that's what they believe it is. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of duping out there. People are being duped. There's a lot of bad stuff. And we have to go very carefully.
Duped. We've been duped by the government, and we're all trying to figure it out and get the find the answers. And a lot of them are doing it honestly and, you know, diligently and looking and stuff. And what's working? Everybody's got a different way to work it in the courts, you know, and yet nobody's winning. So I'm just saying we're all trying to figure it out. It's like, how are we getting this mess? Well, we were sleeping, obviously, but at any rate, so I understand what you're saying, and we're just trying to figure it out, you know, and make sure that you know, see what we've got to do to take it back, like you said.
Right.
So I agree with you. I know
All right, well, let's
about.
Move on to the next caller. We've got a lot of callers here. All right, we'll talk to
you
again
thanks,
soon.
John. All thanks for everything you do. Okay, bye.
All right, thanks, Rosanna. Okay, let's go on to the next caller, 602. 993-602. You should be hearing. You've been unmuted. 602. 993.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Oh, fantastic. John, my name is Mary Ann, and I was going to ask the same question the guy from Montana asked, but you answered it in such a beautiful way. I finally really get why you're certain that you're going to succeed, and now I'm certain too. And that's because I think you can't just go straight at these people and expect to win. The progressives didn't do that to take over the country now, did they?
They did it little at a time. That's right.
Exactly.
And if you go back, you know, we have, just to make a note in on that, if you go out to our issues page and you go to Griffin's page and you start watching those documentaries that he's put together, he's been out there since the early 60s, late 50s, and he's documented all this stuff exactly how they took over our country. You need to go out and watch those documentaries if you haven't seen them. There's hours of documentaries on that page. But go right ahead.
And
I'm
which
sorry.
Page is that again?
That's Issues. Today's Issues.
Issues, okay.
Let me just quickly go through that. If you go to Today's Issues and you come down, I think, yeah, it's the second one down. It says G. Edward Griffin. You click on that page and you look
at
those videos. I want to tell you, I just want to take a second to talk about this because this is so important people understand how these people did what they did. On that page, G. Edward Griffin, for those who aren't familiar with him, the first video we put up here is a video called Hidden Agenda. And this video really lays it out crystal clear on how they started this whole thing and how in the beginning of the century, the turn of into the 20th century, is when they really started to put the clamps down. They had been working long before that, but this is when they really started to start to take the control. They came into the 30s, and they were taking over at that point. They were taking over the our news media and that kind of thing and an educational system. So by the time we got into the 40s, they were rooted into our government. These are Nazis and communists, well rooted. We call them progressives. And they have taken control of everything. You got the Reese Committee, which is what this first video is all about, again, Hidden Agenda. Then underneath that, we have a video, An Idea Whose Time Has Come. This is something that Griffin recently had done, and everybody needs to watch this video. Because he makes it clear, you know, we can't go to the subverters, those people who are the pirates who have taken over the ship, and plead with them to please obey the law, or to plead with them, you know, to elect them, because they're the enemy. It's not going to work. You got to watch that video. It's really powerful. Now, the one below that, the subversion factor, this is the one that shows you the communist movement and the Nazi movement here in America and the war with the FBI and the FBI trying to get back America. I mean, let me tell you, this is a really, really heavy movie. It's about 2 hours long. It's not a movie. It's a documentary. And it goes on and on and on. This guy's got so many great documentaries. Anarchy, he's got Seduction of America, Capitalist Conspiracy, Collectivism, Freedom Force, you know, it just goes on and on and on, how to brainwash a nation, and he's laid it all out. So, again, when you get the time, you need to go to Issues and watch some of these videos and the Issues. But I'm sorry, go right ahead now.
No, please, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought those to my attention. But I see clearly now that what we need to do is get our foot down in one spot and create a fait accompli, something that can't be taken away. And from then on, the momentum will grow on its own, and I think it will be like a raging prairie fire. I really do.
Mm-hmm. I agree. You know, all it takes is getting into one county in your state. Get a seat in that court in one county, and the war is over. The war is, you got the whole state now. You're going to take it back because, you see, when you have a judge in another county that gives a problem to another jury coming into power, which is the same jury as your jury because there's really only one jury. We just happen to have, in New York case, 62 locations, okay? You can indict from one county to another county, and you can force these judges and make real indictments from the power of the court that has now given you the authority. Not that they've given you the authority. They've acknowledged the authority. And now you got power. And at some point, when we get the whole state together, if another state is really having a hard time, we can go and rescue another state. I don't know too much about that, but I know somebody who's been talking to me a little bit about it, and I'm looking into it.
The last thing I want to say is in everything from romance to marketing to this, it's always about positioning, and you seem to have your fingers on that. You really know how to position to make this thing happen. And I'm not trying to make you feel good. I'm saying this because it's important to me to know it, and I think it's important for the rest of us to know it.
I appreciate that.
Okay, I'm all done.
All right. Thanks for calling, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, thanks.
Let me take the next caller here. Okay, Lion XC Boy, is that correct? I'm going to unmute you right now, Lion XC Boy. You got the mic. Lion XC Boy. Okay, maybe he put the mic down. I'll come back to him. Let me go to the next one. 410-541.
John, I'm on a call. Hello?
How you doing? Who's? Yeah? You want me to try you back again?
No, can you hear me?
Yeah. You want me to come back to you, or you want another call?
No, I'm good. Somebody had just walked in the room.
Okay.
But,
go right ahead. You got the mic.
Okay. Well, great. We're getting some momentum here in Maryland. And excuse my cough. I think that I've got the same thing you had.
I sent it down to you. So.
Yeah.
You know, someone sets up to me, there's people all over the country that has this cold that I've got or whatever it is. I don't know what it is, but it's long-term. It's attacking. It's really bad. And what's very interesting is everybody's breaking down with this stuff at the same time 3,000 miles apart. Something's fluky about that, but go right ahead.
Yeah, chemtrails.
Yeah,
something. Yeah, so anyway, we're in Maryland here, and we're finally getting some momentum. We're trying to set up the auction date or the election dates for the next 30 days. We've got 23 counties here, and we're hoping to have at least 13. Somebody told me that we had to have 2/3 of the state county elected, but and then we looked at New York, and that's far from the case up there. So
hey.
I kind of dismissed that. But the big issue that I just wanted to get by was about the public notices, and are there requirements for that?
Now, the only public notice we're doing now is the newspaper, and it's a very simple thing. If there's one, two, or three newspapers that are pretty much in your county, you just send a press release. We give an example of a press release. So you send a press release. You either send it by fax or email. All you do is call the newspaper and tell them you want to get a press release out. They'll give you the number, either the fax number or the email. Usually they'll just give you the fax number or the email and say, yeah, just fax it there. They'll take care of it. So, or you could talk to the person and then fax or email it. Now, once you fax or email it, you get a receipt from your fax or your email, and just save that with the copy of what you fax them. And that's in your record, and that's it. You've done your due diligence. A lot of these newspapers do not print it. They don't even get back to you to tell you whether they printed it or not. But a lot of them just don't do it. So don't rely on the newspapers to get the people to the election, to the election. You do want to get a hold of grassroots people, Tea Party people, Ron Paul, Glenn Beck, whatever groups are out there, 912s. Just get a hold, give them a call. What I do is visit groups. And we visit different groups not only in around our own counties, but all throughout the whole state, actually. That's how we developed a big network. But visit groups in your county.
But there's no prerequisite.
No.
In other words, I filed liens before, and if they don't file it at the clerk's office, we bring it to the public, and some of the documentation I know, like in Maryland, it's on somebody else. I think it's civil procedure that it has to run on the same day of the week for 3 weeks consecutive circulation.
That's not required. We get we give them the notification at least 5 days before. They run it usually. If they do run it, they'll run it the day before, and that'll be that. Whatever the procedure is, it is. We're going to gather. You got to get at least three people to the meeting, so at least make sure two other people are coming with you. Call some other people out of the – they don't have to be from your county to come in and vote and even sign as witnesses, because it's the boundary of your grand jury is the state boundary, not the county. You see, you're just organizing in that county the people of that state, and someone else is, because there's a court in every county, and so you need access to that court by the people of that county. But people from a county over can come and sit on your grand jury or even your trial jury if they want.
So if only one person from the county shows up and there's three other people there, we can do the vote and it's
you only
legitimate.
Need one person from the county. If you're the person from the county, everyone else could be out of the county. It doesn't matter. But, I mean, you try to get people in the county anyway. But it doesn't matter. As long as you got two – even if just three people show up, and even if the two of the three people aren't really interested in signing up as grand jurors, but they kind of like what you're doing and they're willing to sign as witnesses, they could be witnesses. It's done. Remember, Jefferson told us, we have government not by majority, but by the majority that participates. So don't feel bad about not getting a lot of people. I mean, I've seen as many as 35 and I've seen as little as 3, okay? So it is what it is. We put it in the newspapers. We make phone calls, friends and neighbors, whatever.
So
we call people we know with liberty groups.
Public notice at the post office, don't need to do that?
No. You don't want to put any notices, any government buildings anymore, because that has turned against us. We don't do that anymore.
Okay.
They've actually, when we did it down in Rockland County, they raided us, literally raided us. They threw us out of the building. Okay, it was unbelievable. They broke, the way it was, it was almost like a movie theater with the seats going up. It was really a nice place. And they had doors on each side of the seats, two aisles coming down, and it's coming down into where the stage area is at. And we're doing a presentation. We're halfway through it. And all of a sudden, the doors fling open, and the cops come running down. And it's like they were insane. I mean, they didn't hurt anybody, but they definitely were trying to intimidate, And one guy yelled, "Who's in charge here?" So, I mean.
Okay.
This is the county attorney.
All right, we'll just notify the papers. We'll just notify the papers. Does it have to be a county paper, or can it be a state paper? Like we got the Washington Times here that covers Maryland, and then there's Baltimore Sun.
Do only the local papers, because the state is too big. You're not doing it statewide.
The county
just
paper.
Local paper, yeah.
Okay.
Whatever papers are in the county.
Great.
Sometimes it's only one. Sometimes there's three. I don't know.
That I had from some of the guys that are volunteering with me here, and it has to do with the website, the new website, which is really nice. At one point, you may have said that the state coordinators would have some kind of a back office access
to update the jurors list and that other information, you know, things like putting the Constitution, the state Constitution up in there and that kind of stuff.
Right.
Is that something that's...
Yeah, that's already in the system. We have to teach people. And I was supposed to have a meeting with the tech today to go through all those things, and we were going to do a recorded program, so to speak, and we were going to start, go to the list, you know, from point A to point Z and record it. And then I was going to, but we didn't get that done today because I got called out of the office. So hopefully I'll get it done tomorrow maybe. But I will get it done in the next day or two. Once I get it done, I've got one or two people I got in mind that have a little bit of a technical background in computers, and you should be able to walk through this pretty quickly. And I'll walk through it with them to make sure they got it. And once they got it, then we'll reach out to all of the state coordinators and we'll give them access to that recorded program. And they'll be able to hopefully walk through it. If they have any problems, then they would call these two guys who will, you know, set up to be able to assist people. Because I don't have the time to spend a lot of time trying to assist everybody. So we'll get a couple people to do that for us.
We decided we're going to do a blend. We're going to do 13 counties and, you know, we were going to try and do it in 13 days, you know, just get them done.
Well, hey, that's how I'm thinking in New York is I'm waiting for some more funding to come. And as soon as I can get that funding, I'll have the freedom to travel the state. And I'm going to get in my car and I'm going to go to places and I'm going to kind of camp out almost and literally do exactly what you're saying. I'm going to plan it so I could do one county a day. And I'll go to the central area, I'll go to the northern area, and I'll go to the western area. We already got the southern area done. So, and we'll get this thing done in New York as quick as possible. And anybody in any other state should be doing the same thing. I know Hagen down in Florida is doing this. He's kind of running around the state camping out and doing what he's got to do, so to speak, you know. So, you know, I'm going to do the same thing.
Well, Maryland's probably about the size of one of your counties up there, so.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll yield the floor for the next guy. Thanks a lot.
Well, just,
and hopefully we'll get it done here real soon.
Great. All right, I just want to go through real quickly on some of the authorities that we're going to be giving the state coordinators. And just a couple of them, and I mentioned them before. You know, we have the state page area. And if you go click on that state page area, you'll have all the states that'll come up. And of those states, when you go to your state, on the top of that state, you'll see that there's a message board, and the state coordinator will have control over that. There's a blog, so they have blog pages. The state coordinator will have control over that. And if they want to pass that on to someone else to do, all they have to do is let me know who, and I'll be able to set it up so that person will have access to that blog. Then there's also another page that's called Find the Law. Again, that's in your state alone, if you find that up. There's a couple of states we don't have that in. But the state coordinator will be able to email everyone in the state. We don't want people to do a lot of emailing, so don't abuse that. But occasionally you might want to email everyone in the state. You should be able to email all of the coordinators, the organizers of your state and all the counties, so you can mass email all those people. And I think you'll be able to mass email all of the state leaders. So we're trying to open that communication channels up. If those things haven't been executed in our program, and it may, you know, if that wasn't planned for when the tech who put this together, if that's not set up, you know, we may have to pay a few bucks more for that, but that'll be okay. Another couple of things I think will be set up where, well, first of all, if you go on to the chat box area or into the area where people are making comments, state coordinators will have the ability to delete an inappropriate, what would you call it, comment, okay? And if a person is a real problem, we may have to take away their ability to post. So we'll be looking to all the state coordinators to really kind of, you know, keep an eye on those things, and they'll have that authority. if someone's being real obnoxious, you know, they really want to be careful with this, not to confuse someone being obnoxious maybe with something that you're disagreeing with. But if people are being really obnoxious, then, you know, maybe that's something you got to deal with. And there's some other things, but basically that's the key stuff. Also, they'll be able to download a complete Excel list of all the people within their county, and they'll be able to share that with, you know, other county organizers that they know are actual county organizers organizing. And I wouldn't share it with any county organizer until the election is going forward. And just when the election is going forward, if I was a state coordinator, I would suggest, well, you send out the email message on behalf of that county. Once they're constituted, paperwork is done, that's when you might want to start sharing the Excel sheets with those people. That's my suggestion. But each state, you're going to have to figure that out. We just don't want to pass these lists to just anyone. So anyway, that's some of the things. One of the things we were going to do and we haven't done, maybe we'll do it in the future, is uploading files. We figured that, I was looking at this, we got 50 coordinators. You got to understand that everything costs money when you get at the level where we're at right now. And it's cost money in broadband, and we're starting to get lots of people to come, and soon we're going to get, you know, thousands a day. I mean, right now, sometimes we hit 1,000, but in a day. The last 3 days, we've been hitting some really good levels, high levels. But in any event, if you got 50 state coordinators and they start putting files up, that starts to take up a lot of space. And we have to pay for that space. And so, and a lot of stuff may become duplicated. So what I did is I figured, well, okay, the important documents like state constitutions will be under the main page, under documents, state elections. Now, if there's another category that's important, we'll put that up there. Anybody else that wants to put documents up, they can go up to our meetup group, National Liberty Alliance, you know, meetup.com/National Liberty Alliance. You can get to that by clicking on the right side of our page, just click on the meetup. And, you know, you can post and upload files there too. So that's another resource for us. We're also suggesting that every state coordinator go out and create a meetup group for the state. And we're suggesting to call it Montana Liberty Alliance, Florida Liberty Alliance, New York Liberty Alliance, New Jersey, whatever it is, New Jersey Liberty Alliance. Get those names and then connect yourself with our National Liberty Alliance page, and we'll get a nice network going, and you'll have a nice – the meetup's got a great calendar system set up, really great. They got a great email system set up. That's why I use it for email communications and calendars particularly. And you set up a meetup, and it sends out all of the notices. So, I mean, that's a program I think every state should take advantage of and then connect it to us on the national level so that we work together, because we not only have to communicate with a lot of people within our counties and get our business going. That's where the rubber meets the road, by the way. That's where the real stuff is happening, is in your county. Nevertheless, you still need to communicate and work in partnership with the counties throughout your whole state and really get organized well. You know, where there's organization, there's power. And if you're unified and look unified, and that's why we set the seal up the way we did. We're trying to get all of the meetups the way we do. If you look organized, that, you know, is impressive to the enemy, and they realize you're someone to contend with. So it's a lot of psychology on this too. But also on a national level, we have got to communicate between the states. And so that's what the national page is for. And also there's got to be a central area to put out the education. Education that could be trusted. We have people that research stuff with us and they pass things on to us. So we learn from lots of different people. You know, we're not alone doing the research, but we do a lot of it ourselves. But, you know, people bring things to us, and we talk to them, and we check it out, and, you know, we can benefit from it, and we'll post it. But we all have to be on the same page. So this is extremely important that we communicate on the county level, the state level, and also on the national level. Okay, with that, let me go to the next caller. 707, I think, is the next call. Go right ahead. You got the mic.
Yes, hi. Doug Malone here, John. Excited to call after the first hour. Your first question came from a man who was quoting General Vallely, V-A-L-L-E-L-Y, is that correct?
I think there was a... That was one of them. There is another general. I'd have to look up his name, Riley. I think it's Colonel Riley. That's the guy that I think is organizing the march, I believe.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure that no one's working with General Vallely. He says he was his commander over... he retired in 84... as a general, but he was a commander over Colonel Michael Aquino, A-Q-U-I-N-O. And Aquino, if you go on their website under YouTube, you'll see that he has a post there. He claims that he retired a general in charge of the National Security Agency. And so... Those two men are extremely evil, and even though Vallely claims he's a born-again Christian now and all this stuff, he has tortured and murdered people in his home, and I've got a lot of good ammo. If you ever want anything on Vallely, I'd be happy to share it with you.
All right. Well, we want to be a little careful on that kind of thing, but I do get your drift, and I did see that name, but... I don't know that it was connected in any way with this guy Riley. And this guy Riley, like I said, that's why I got to do some research before I would want to let this person come and speak or before I'd want to push his program. So I will be doing some research, and hopefully others will too. I'll try to get his name again. I know it's Riley. It's I think Colonel Riley is his name. I'm trying to think of his first name. For some reason, I think it was David, maybe. But I'm looking for that. All right. Anything else?
That's it. Thanks.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you. And meanwhile, I'll look for that guy's name, and other people can search this out also. And if you find good news on it, give me a call. If you find bad news on it, give me a call. I mean, that's when a phone call in the evening to me is good, those kind of things. All right, let me take the next call. You got another question or anything or comment?
Thanks. Bye.
Okay. All right, thank you. Okay, next caller is 904-704. You should hear you're unmuted. You got the mic.
Hello. Thank you, John. This is Joaquin from San Agustin, Florida. We are already administrator.
How you doing?
How you doing?
Good.
Pretty good. How about you?
Good, thank you.
Good. I would like to go touch a little bit what we talk about Montana.
Hold on one second. Before you go, I just want to get this out because I got the name. It's Colonel Harry Riley, not O'Reilly, Colonel Harry Riley. So that's the guy's name. And I got a website here, patriotsforamerica.ning.com. I'll repeat that. patriotsforamerica.ning.com. So anyway, we got to check this guy out and see what he's doing. It sounds good from what I heard, and I did have a little bit of a conversation with him, and it looks like something that could be helpful for our movement, and we'll see. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem. Talking about Montana that you have talking very well to that person, Wolf, that he was explaining his view that I do not agree. But you and I, we know that we are fighting the devil in many persons. So when somebody comes also and says that he's going to be the defender of the devil, well, thanks, but no thanks. We have a lot of fights with the devil. We don't need advocates. But in Gallatin County in Montana and in Park County in Montana, we are having the elections according to our procedures here in the National Liberty Alliance. And really, we are doing excellent. We are filing the documents. We are doing the elections. We have set up the media. We send the press release elections. We have two magnificent coordinators. One is Gabriel Heath for Gallatin, and the other one is Julie Daduk for Park. And we are doing everything in accord with our procedures that are the only procedures that work. We are following the due process, and that's that. If you go by yourself and call into the militia and go into your own things, you're wasting your time. You can do it. You're free to do it. We are all free to do our own will, but the only things that work, I have been fighting with the court for 7 years, the only thing that really worked, and the proof is here in our county in St. John's in Florida, we filed the documents according to what you have established, John, and there is a lot of knowledge and experience that we should use, and it's very easy and very simple, and the courts, the judges and the clerks, they kneel down in front of us because we are the supreme rulers.
One of the things we're doing, and I appreciate what you're saying, is we're trying to do things the honorable way. We're trying to be friendly. We're trying to be humble. We're trying to be honorable. We're trying to be merciful. We're trying to just get along and bring things back under the law. That's all we're trying to do. And I think people, look at, I'll tell you what, I really believe people are rooting for us right in that courthouse. I believe people are rooting for us even down at the sheriff's department because they're seeing what we're doing. And we're doing it very carefully and methodically and with a lot of mercy and giving people the time to make the decision to do the right thing and so on and so forth. Look at, we have been, America has been really under control for a long time. Our education, we've been under mind control. And they're as duped as we are. And by us doing this in the manner and the shape and the way that we're doing it, it gives them the opportunity to digest it, consider what's going on, and hopefully wake them up. And what we're trying to let them see is that what's going on in their system right now is nothing but utter corruption, and we're just trying to bring it back right under the law again. And I think people are getting it. I really do. And so that may be part of the pressure to help us really accomplish our goal. And the bottom line in this whole thing, and I try to stick this in as often as possible because it's very important, is we're not really in control of this. God's in control. You see, if we do it the right way, if we make every decision we can as righteous as we possibly can, just do the right thing. Everybody knows what the right thing is. Just do the right thing. Do the merciful thing and the humble thing and the right thing, and then just wait on God because it's up to Him. We just do what we have to do, but it's up to God to make it happen. And here, you know, here at Liberty Alliance, National Liberty Alliance, we truly believe that. And I see that things are happening not according to my schedule, the way I'd like to see it happen. But it seems to be happening right on a good time because one thing leads to another, and it's like their prerequisitional requirements of things that need to be done are being done in an order because I see it just opening up for us. And so, you know, we're resting in God.
And when we are doing the things like you explained, humbly, you know, and not with arrogance, but following our Lord, and with hope, then is how we are very blessed by our Lord, and the things happen, and then we got approved, and then we got our documents, you know, because they like it the way that we do it, and that's the only way to do it, following the due process.
That's right.
And that's what I'm trying to tell you. In Gallatin and in Park and in Montana, we are doing the things very, very in accord with the will of our Lord, humbly following the documents, following the instructions that you are very well stated in the website by clicking on it. We follow all those beautiful documents that you say that help us. And we don't have to do nothing. We just gotta read slowly and understand what we are required to do, and that's what we are doing. And we don't fail. We will win. We are winning, you know. And that's all what I gotta say. Thank you very much.
Well, I agree. I agree, and we are winning. We're winning ultimately in righteousness by just doing the right thing, and again, you know, by doing the right thing, you know, God promises there's a blessing in doing the right thing. You know, if he be for us, who could be against us? You know, we want to make friends as we go along. I mean, because, look, let's face it. Here's the bottom line on this thing. Everybody in government is guilty. And let me repeat that. Mm-hmm. There's very few people that this is not true for, very few, because they all get mm-hmm. lost and involved in the corruption. Even the clerks, mm-hmm. they're all involved. They're following orders. And
yes.
by us doing it the right way, it will make them to see themselves. And
yeah.
instead of heating them up, and besides that, we can't make them all enemies. We got to befriend
mm-hmm.
them. And we got to let them know, hey, we're not looking to see what you've done in the past. We're just looking to see what you're going to do from this point forward. This point forward. That's all.
Exactly.
The past, the evil people, the past will take care of them, because people will come up and they'll bring you know, words against them and say, let me tell you what this guy did to me. And then we'll have to deal with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one thing, John, we do, we got to be merciful, and those who recognize the error and ask for forgiveness, there you go, we forgive. But my father told me that when we meet with the devil, that really person that don't want to admit and want to be a tyrant, then to that devil we got to have the strength to get the horn and turn it and make it a roll. You know, don't be afraid of them. And like you did, present the final notice, and if they don't, they will find that they will be charged with indictment, and they will suffer the consequences, because we cannot tolerate a tyranny. No way. We are Americans. We are free, and we inherited that from our fathers, and nobody's going to take that from us. No way.
Right. Well, I agree with you, and that's the way we got to go.
Thank you, John. God bless you.
I appreciate the call. We'll talk again. Godspeed with you, too. Okay, let's go to the next call here. Let's see. It is 203 coming out of Connecticut, 807. You should be hearing. You're unmuted now.
Yes, I did. Thank you, John. Good hearing you, as always. Hopefully the cold's getting a little better anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to talk to you about the things as far as what you said a few months ago on another call about we have to be careful about, you know, bringing this out too quickly and to too many people. In other words, there has to be more of a grassroots, you know, word of mouth, you know, organizations that you could really trust, because you were mentioning about having really being set up properly all over the country before then going, you know, then hitting. So it's just good if you keep stressing that point, because I know that other gentleman has some media outlets, and you just want to still be able to control it, you know, as you mentioned.
Right. Yeah, we've been very careful to get a core group. You know, we wanted to stay below the radar as long as possible. To some degree, I think we kind of still are below the radar. You know, I would think that we're no longer below the radar when they really understand what we're doing. And right now, I don't know what they know. But, you know, we do want to get people who are going to cooperate with our strategy. We want to get people who will cooperate with the ideology that we have, you know, that we're coming with this thing with a sense of justice, a sense of honor, and a sense of mercy. We don't want to get lost in, you know, going in on a witch hunt and just going out and trying to just indict everybody. You know, we got to give that thought up totally, completely, to be honest with you, because if we're going to indict everybody that needs to be indicted, there's going to be not only is there going to be a lot of people in jail. Don't think that there's going to be restitution too much, because everybody's been injured. Everybody's been injured. And you know what? For me, it would suffice to get honor back into our court system, justice back into our court system, and also bring it back into our political system. That, to me, is my reward. That, to me, is payment, more than enough payment to anything that anything I think is owed to me. And we have to kind of, I think, really take that attitude. People are going to have to pay the toll for the damages that they've done, and I don't know how that's going to happen. That'll happen because we, the people, are going to have to work that out in our own counties, in our own rooms, trying to figure out what we're going to do, because at some point, I think we're going to become very overwhelmed for a period of time. And because, you know, the nation has a lot of healing to do. It has a lot of correcting to do. And there's a lot of injured parties, a lot of injured people out there. And we've got to figure out how we're going to deal with that. And we're not going to be able to give full justice to everyone. It's just not going to be possible. But, again, to get our country back for us should be sufficient. And once everything settles down, I think there's going to be a lot less people. Well, definitely going to be a lot less people going to jail. There's no doubt about that. I mean, 90% or 80% of the people in jail don't belong there at all. They really don't. But in any event, we got to figure that out and work that out together in our own counties, in our own grassroots. So.
Excellent. No, and it's funny, tonight it's been a lot about that, about what you're saying as far as what is realistic, and you're absolutely on point. It's about now and the future, because a lot of these people were just pawns anyway, like people that are in power, they're just following what it is. And a matter of fact, it sounds like you're using or at least paralleling the saying of when a man is honestly mistaken.
Right.
And you know how that saying goes, right?
Absolutely. Look, I think it's my opinion, and I really believe this opinion I'm going to say right now, that jail is only for two different types of people, okay? Violent people, people who take things by force, okay? Violent people, and judges. And I say that because the judges know what's going on. There's no. I was in court today, and I want to tell you, I'm in court many times, but I happen to be there today. These judges, they know what's going on. They know, okay? And they stay there, and they continue, and they make money, and it goes on and on and on. And it's a game. It's a wink and a nod and a handshake, and it's a sin. So they have put so many people in jail, okay? Now, I'm not saying put every judge in jail. I'm not saying that. But what's going to happen is people are going to bring these judges before us at some point, and we're going to have to deal with that. And we're going to have to pray for wisdom on that, how we're going to work that out. There's a lot of problems that I don't want to talk about yet. We will talk about them later on when it's time to talk about, and it's something we're all going to have to pray about and figure out, and we're all going to have to handle it to the best we can in wherever we are that we're living, you know?
No, absolutely. But it does sound like a lot of things you're talking about is like the best of everything. There isn't anything bad. It's like all this stuff, like even about the people that are in jail, like you say, 90%. And you're so right. A lot of other good groups are saying the same thing. So you're on point. It's like you're hitting on every cylinder, and there's nothing bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's really incredible. I was just wondering, when did you – I mean, are you the one that started this whole thing, or
there's a few of us here, but yeah, we started this actually in a grand jury. I think it was March or April. I don't remember exactly. If you go back and look into our archives, you can look at the things we were talking about, and you can see where it began. But we only started March or April, I think, somewhere around there in 2012. So it's not even a year yet. And in that less than year, I think it's been maybe 9 months or something. I don't know.
Well, 2012. So you're going to almost 2 years now.
I'm sorry, 2013.
Oh, 13. Okay.
Yeah. It's only been about 9 months. And in that nine months, we are in 48 states. We are deeply, deeply rooted in a lot of them, okay? And it's taken off. Our website has continued to go up in its rank. It has not stopped. It's been a steady pace. It hasn't been too fast. thankfully, it hasn't been too fast anyway. If it was too fast, we would have collapsed a long time ago. That's why we had to build this new website, to make sure that we're capable of dealing with this, you know. So I understand we have availability of up to 30 servers if we need it. You know, we have people, technicians that we've got to be working with that's going to maintain and make sure our site kind of stays up. I'm not sure exactly how that works. You know, we have broadband, and we have to deal with the broadband and be able to not fall apart with it. You know, we have to have good security. So all of that costs money. You know, we've been doing a lot of this stuff on a shoestring budget, everything out of pocket.
Right. No, as you mentioned last week, right, more money is going to go into the site to anticipate, right, in anticipation, of course, of the hits you're going to get. So I can't believe this is incredible, John. Do you realize, mm-hmm, in less than a year? I mean, the way you're set up in the site, you would think it's up for years. No, really. It's like every time I'm on
I've been studying this stuff for years, though, and I've been collecting this stuff for years, and I've been putting it up on a site for years. We started off with NewYorkCommittee.org, and that's what we started off with, and we started 4 years ago. And we started doing Monday night calls we're on Monday night calls now, maybe 13, 14 months, something like that. Got all those archives up there. You can go back to the very beginning in our first call in our archives. We got it all up on the archives on Blog Talk Radio. We've uploaded it up there. And you can go back and listen to the very beginning of what we've been teaching and where we've been going, and you can see exactly how we fell into the grand jury and how we started to shift gears. And we haven't given up the political powers at all. We just are focusing in on the judicial powers because that's where it has to start. We're going to get to some political powers later on without the politics. You see, we were doing a program of taking political power and political authority, but not having the politics. It's George Washington's vision is really what we were trying to develop. And we were trying to bring the two major parties back together, back to Jeffersonian, so to speak, because the Republican Party and the Democratic Party used to be one party. That was Jefferson's party. It was the Democratic Republican Party. And so they broke that up, I think, you know, at some point in time. I think around Lincoln's time, maybe. I don't remember. But, you know, the two parties sort of separated. The two groups kind of broke in. The one group broke into two, Democrats and Republicans eventually. And it was a division. And it's all about politics. It's not about the political process. So we've been working with that. And we're going to give people political power also. We broke that code also. We come to an understanding exactly how they did and what they did and how it should really be. And again, we're working off of George Washington's vision of no parties for party bickering, because parties are going to destroy. So we had a meeting in 2012. It was 2012. We had a statewide meeting here in New York with all the elected committeemen that came in through us. And we were the first elected committeemen in probably 50, 60 years here in New York, because the whole thing is a facade. It's a lie. These people aren't elected. And they're run by a private organization. It's a private party. And were taking it. We had a meeting in a convention in Kingston, New York. And we brought the Republicans and the Democrats together, and we rewrote all of the party rules here in New York, and we came together as one, focusing in on the Constitution. No party bickering or nothing. We're focused in on saving New York was our focus. And the battle we ran into was we were unable to receive authority because the New York State Board of Election prevented and didn't recognize us as the elected committeemen. They continued to recognize the straw man, which ultimately is run by the Communist Party. And so we went to courts, and that's how we got into the legal battles. About 3 years ago, we started fighting these battles in court to get power for the committeemen back. And we went up to the Supreme Court. We've had two Supreme Court cases, and one of them went up to the appellate court. We had another one going up to the appellate court. And right now we kind of set that one aside because we're really working on this program. But once we get through here, then we, the people in the judicial process, can force the New York State Board of Election and your Board of Election in your state to obey the law, and then the elected committeeman could take power where the individual gets the political power now. And they could work together with the grand jury to really educate the people by bringing it into every election district, you know, the understanding of how the committeeman process works, how the judicial process works, the grand jury, the trial jury, and re-educate the people from that standpoint also as we take back our schools and re-educate our children. So, you know, there's a lot to do here, and we got to get it done.
Well, I tell you, John, you hit on so many good points tonight as each caller was asking questions. And even the thing about the brainwashing, people don't even realize on every aspect there's brainwashing, like even on the limitation of a crime. That's a complete brainwash because the distinction should be the evidence, not the time. If the evidence is there, fine. If the evidence isn't there, then you don't have a case.
Right.
So just think about this, John. When we're growing up, and the funny thing, I might have lent you $5 when we were kids, because I grew up in New York. So say I lent you $5 as a kid, right?
Yep.
Now listen to this, John. So I believe as a child, because I don't know anything about the law, I owe you that $5 for the rest of my life until I pay you.
Uh-huh.
Where is there a limitation? Look at the brainwashing that we feel that in a certain time, it goes away. See, that actually breeds crime because that means that's not much of a deterrent. But if someone realizes they do something and they're accountable forever, I think that's a much better deterrent.
Right. I agree. And with common law, that's exactly the essence of common law. There are no statutes, so there are no statutes of limitations, and therefore you are responsible for your life. And to be free, it requires to be mature, and we have to teach our children to be honest. We have to teach our children to be good. I don't want to use the word citizen at this point in time, but good people, I guess, you know,
yes, people.
To do the right thing and to also give back to society. Everybody needs to come on to the juries at some point and sit on those juries and not resist them. Everybody needs to put 2 years in as a committee person. Okay, and it's not a big deal. It's one day a month maybe, you know, that's it. What's the big deal on that for two years?
Right.
Every child should be taught that they owe that to society at some point in their life. They need to look and do this. And it could be when they're 20s or their 30s, but some or 40s or whatever, but they need to do it. Because we the people have got to run our country. And that's how we run our country. We run our country by becoming jurists. We run our country by becoming committeemen. Because that is the power and that is the authority. You know, the committeemen have a lot of authority because they're the ones that allow people to run for office. They're the decision makers. They walk the paperwork in order that they can get onto the ballot. And if you don't get the committeemen to work with you, well, then it's really difficult to get on the ballot. You can get on it without them, but it's real difficult. But that's the problem. You have criminals controlling the process, and they're only letting criminals come into the system because they need to keep the criminal activities going so that they can maintain and get more power and money. And that's what it's all about. And that's what we have to be careful of. We have to turn to the other direction. We have to turn towards the honesty, towards honor, towards doing it for the right thing, doing it for our children. That's the benefit by what we do. It's what we're doing for our children, for our posterity, for our families.
Right, and our
second.
Hey, John. Fantastic.
You got 30 minutes left. You got four more callers.
Okay.
Thank you very much, John. Thank you very much.
All right.
I'll talk to you next week. God bless.
Okay. Thank you. Godspeed. Bye-bye. Okay, we'll take our next caller. It looks like New York City, 212-751. Go right ahead. You should hear you've been unmuted.
Okay, hi, it's Pat Sachs. How are you?
How you doing, Pat?
Okay. It's kind of late, so I don't want to go through several minor things I would have talked about earlier. But there was a comment about Facebook. I just wanted you to know, just for your information, I have 84 groups, a lot of them on Facebook and some of them on some other platforms, but they're all Liberty groups, and they're all over the country. I think all told, all my groups on all of the platforms, I have at least 100,000 people. So I'd like to be able to use these groups. I also belong to a whole bunch of other Liberty groups. So the fellow who wants to do some work on Facebook, I think that's fabulous. If you could ask him to coordinate with me, maybe we could be more effective, you know, working together, pushing for this.
Okay, well, there's 212 numbers, your phone number, right?
Correct.
Okay, what I'll do is I'll be talking with him tomorrow, and I'll pass your number to him, and maybe between the two of you, you can work that out and try to stimulate the people into our process here, you know, get them excited about what we're doing. I don't have the knowledge of how Facebook works, and I don't have the time to get out there and figure things out. We do have, obviously, a Facebook presence, and a lot of people are coming in, and I just don't pay too much attention to it because I'm just too busy other places. So if you guys want to work together to do this, this would be a good thing. And we need, first and foremost, the most important people to get into what we're doing are the people that are in the Liberty groups already, working the grassroots. And what I find that there's a lot of apathy in people. There's a lot, you know, a lot of us have come to that point that no matter what we do, it doesn't work. You know, what are we going to do? There's nothing until you find the grand jury, and all of a sudden that apathy disappears. At least for me it has. Okay, I know we're doing something worthwhile. I know we're doing something that we can succeed in, and I know we're doing something in such a way that's being done with honor and justice, in such a way that God could bless us for it and bless the work, and we can have freedom back again. But we just have to do the right thing and get as many people as possible to agree with that, to do the right thing and take the controls. We need good people controlling. We need 4 people in every county. That's the key, 4 good people in every county, because that's what we need for the administrators, and 1 secretary that's hired help. Okay, but 4 people are the administrators, and then you got to hire a secretary, a good secretary, to run things in the office right there in the courthouse, and to work together.
Yeah. Now. Okay. Well, I'm working in my county, but I'm also working getting Connecticut together.
Right.
We're going to be having some meetings next week, so I think we're going to be progressing quickly after this.
Well, that gentleman right before you, in the 203 number, he's from Connecticut.
What?
So.
I don't think he's a county leader, is he?
I don't recall. Let me open him up on the mic and let him get talking. Hang on a second.
Okay.
203-807, you're back on the mic. What was your first name again?
Oh, yeah, this is Edward. How you doing, John?
Edward. Okay, you're Connecticut, right?
Yeah, Connecticut. Yes, sir.
Right.
Yeah, can I ask which county you're in?
I would be Fairfield County.
Fairfield, okay.
Now, Connecticut's going to be a little tough, and New York will work with you. We'll come specially because Connecticut's right next door to us anyway, and I'll come out there if I have to help you out on this. But once you get control of Connecticut, we got to get your sheriffs back because Connecticut lost
exactly.
The sheriffs. And
right.
I've been looking a little bit into the law there, and we need to get your sheriffs back. So we'll talk about that. Once you guys get established, I'll come out there and work with you.
Okay, that would be great. We still have a few counties to go to, get started, but we need to get all of the counties on board, and we need to start having the grand jury meetings.
All right, Edward, are you listed as a county leader, Edward?
Well, not yet, because we're pretty new, and I'm trying to spread the word, and I do appreciate your notice that we lost our sheriffs about, 12 years ago or something, 14 years ago.
Yeah, Connecticut is, my dad grew up in Branford. Connecticut was completely different years ago. It's just been a total takeover in Connecticut.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable the way it's changed. I mean, it's a complete, now you could almost call it the unconstitutional state. It's doing absolutely everything opposite.
That's right. What an insult, right? We're supposed to be the constitutional, constitutional.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we're doing everything
wrong. Let's get it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anyway, you two guys should try to get together. Edward, if you let me know, well, if you go into your account, you can flip the switch any time to become a county leader, and you'll show up. And then the other county leaders will be getting in touch with you and you with them. Okay?
Okay. Thank you, John.
All right. Okay. Anything else? Back to New York.
No, it's... You know, it's so late, and I had a big day. I'm really not up for talking about several other things. But this was the major issue. I just wanted to make sure you knew about Facebook. And
right, yeah. I'll get you in touch with goodness, Pank. How does his name go? How do you pronounce his name, Gerard? Pankers. Oh, Pankage. That's it. Pankege. Pankage. I believe that's how you spell it. But I'll connect you with him. I'll be talking with him tomorrow. I'll pass your name and number to him, okay?
Yeah, that would be fine. I appreciate it.
Okay. Anything else?
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay. Godspeed. Talk to you later.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Next caller. Goodbye. 714-964. You should be hearing that you got the mic now.
Thank you, John and Gerard. This is Arnie.
Hey, how you doing, Arnie?
Good. I just wanted to take a few moments to compliment the team and you especially for being so consistent and rock solid under times when I think our society is anything but. And listening to the comments just from the perspective of an old guy, I'll be 77 this month. It's amazing I've lasted this long. The looking back, especially what I've been involved in the last 5 years, which is trying to understand what has actually happened to this country.
I hear you.
And,
on that.
there's a lot of smarter people that have been at this a long time. I can only give you what I consider to be my view of the situation. And it's amazing that it goes back, at least from what I can see, the patterns, about to the 1800s, early 1800s or so, maybe mid-1800s.
I hate to say it started back, as far as I know, in 1789 when George Washington was elected. But you're right, in the 1850s or so is when it really started to get deep into the law process and trying to push towards the money, which they eventually got into by the beginning of the 20th century. And it's the 20th century when they really got that grip on us. But they were working very hard before that in that law.
Well, as you pointed out, Griffin and some of the others bring this to the forefront.
Right.
About how the media was seized, and that's when the real brainwashing began. And, you know, it's marvelous with YouTube and the other parts of history that we can go back and look. Not that all history hasn't been modified to reflect things they want us to believe, but just to summarize it, we don't have a government right now. We have a bunch of imposters. Well, that is, of course, the truth. But you look at the way the politicians behave at all levels, and they may or may not know about it, but we have been a nation that's been captive, again, since at least 1865 when they put in the Lieber Code and martial law. And they have consistently, you look at the Congress, how they have consistently passed legislation. We see it now, especially like NDAA, and even worse is the fraud of Obamacare, which is not even a law, and everybody is acting as if it was, and they're passing processes and procedures that are affecting millions of people, and the Congress is in the middle of it. And, of course, the county, the state, the local municipalities. So people just have to realize that we have been conned since 1865. This is not our real government.
Mm-hmm.
And we owe them nothing, as far as I'm concerned. So it's just so hard for anybody to understand or to get there. At least it was for me, speaking for myself. It was extremely difficult to get my head around it. Once I dealt with the unbelievable aspects, I began to realize. And you look at everything that was done. We have been under the control of these foreign entities, and they have taken full advantage of us. So I commend you and Gerard for sticking with this and doing a great job of putting it together. And thankful to people like you, I've come to realize that as an individual, the only person I report to is the Creator.
Amen.
All these other people work for us. They're our servants, and they're under contract to us, to which they agree when they take the oath of office and accept their first paycheck. So we need to understand who we are and who they are. Not that we have to be, you know, unpleasant or discourteous, but we need to be firm, and we need to certainly assert ourselves as who we are. They work for us, and we don't need to apologize to anybody for that.
That's right.
So
I agree.
I'll just thank you again and appreciate everything you're doing.
Well, good to hear from you, Arnie. I appreciate the good words, and it takes the people to do it. That's the key. You know, we may be out here kind of putting the things together and trying to get an educational system set up on the website so that people can become enlightened to what their heritage is and understand the process and the procedures of law, and particularly and especially common law and what common law is, which is mostly common sense with principles. That's what common law is, common sense with principles. And but it takes the people to step up and do it. If the people don't do it, it's not going to get done. So, but I appreciate all your words, Arnie. Thank you. And anything else before we shut you down here?
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you.
Okay. Godspeed, Arnie. Thank you. Okay, let's take our next call here. Let's see. It is 570-309. You should be hearing. You've been unmuted. 570-309. You've been unmuted. Probably ran for a drink. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, is it possible to have those documents that you read at the beginning of the in a meeting and the court cases and, you know, things like that was pretty good information.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of things.
And is it possible?
Yeah, if you go up to our site, nationallibertyalliance.org, click on Breaking News. You'll see it on the right side, or you'll find it also under Issues, I think, is where you find – no, maybe it's Welcome. But in any event, you'll see it on the right side. I'm looking to see where I did post it up there.
Okay, so both of them are there, for the one for
on the right
judge
side
and one for the clerk.
Right. You'll see that it's on Wednesday, January 1st. That's where the two mandamuses are. And all the other stuff is in order. It's in chronological order going backwards now of all the different interviews or press releases that we've had since we started. You'll get a lot of stuff out there. We also posted a page up here. We used to have a while back a page with a lot of court cases. And we kind of took them down, but we're starting to put them back up. So you can get some court case examples if you go to Judicial. And underneath Judicial to the right side, you come to Court Cases Examples. And we've got a lot of different examples out there for people who are trying to have gotten to that point where they're ready to go into the courts and write cases and different things. So we give you a lot of examples. We also, for those who are members, you can go to our Jurist tab on the right side. And you can click on Court Access Course, okay? And that gives you, you'll find a book there that we wrote, and that book gives you the anatomy of a court case, how to access the courts without a lawyer. And so we wrote a book so that people can know exactly what the paperwork is. Because, you know, I remember when I was looking for this, I couldn't figure out how to do this. And there was no place to get a really good book that would tell you how to get into the courts. And then I found Jurisdictionary, and then we took Jurisdictionary, and we wrote our own book. And so anyway, that's available there, and there's a lot of other help. So, you know, if you go up to, well, this is a really important one. I think it's under, is it under judicial? Let me see. And by the way, the last thing you want to do is go into courts without knowing common law. We do have a common law course under judicial also. But I'm looking for law notes. Okay, yeah, under jurist, we put this in the private page, so anybody who's logged in, under jurist, you go to law notes. If you click on that, that is probably one of the most valuable tools you're going to have if you're going to write a court case. These are notes that I've been using every time I try to understand something in law or try to find court cases in law or law. I create a notepad page, and I put that information into a notepad. And for instance, the word at law, Bouvier's Law Dictionary, 1856, this phrase is used to point out that a thing is to be done according to the course of the common law. It is distinguished from a proceeding in equity. Okay? So, again, at law, when you use that in a court case, you're really focusing to the point or the fact that you're talking about a common law case that you're bringing before this court, and it needs to proceed according to common law. And so you use that idea at law in the beginning of your court case, and you'll want to put a footnote on it so that everyone is clear on the meaning of that word, and that would be the footnote. We've got a lot of other notes and footnotes on different items. But anyway, it's a very valuable paper, a very valuable group of pages, notepads or notes, law notes. So, but definitely, before you go into a court or think about going into court, you got to listen to the lectures we have up on our website on common law. Each lecture is about 8 hours long. We have 4 lectures up there. They're done by Bill Thornton, and you really need to understand the principles that he teaches before you even think about going into a courtroom. You need to understand the principles, and then when you go into the court, you'll be able to, you know, produce a good case. But of course, they're going to reject it and fight you with it. I'm writing a paper right now. It is called a memorandum at law. I forget the name of it. I'll have to go look it up. But anyway, let me quickly look that up. If I can remember where I put it. All right, I'll look that up later and I'll bring it up. But it's a memorandum at law really that's laying out the difference between... Oh, it's about common law, but I forget what I called it. And I'll post it as soon as I'm finished with it. But it's a paper that I would use as a memorandum in every case I would go to fight from this point forward. And that's why I'm writing it, is really to set the stage and to put that judge on notice that this is a common law procedure. And the first order of business is that this court understands that this is a common law procedure. And if they're going to deny it, we're going to require denial right then and there on the record, and then we sue the judge. And that's the way the process will go. Now, that kind of thing hopefully won't be necessary once we get in control, but nevertheless, you know, we're still fighting battles in courts, and those of us who are in the courtrooms right now, we would need maybe a memorandum like that. So, all right, anything else? Sorry to go off on a long tangent. Yeah, but...
I know, actually, the people have to be careful because the government website, the court website basically states that the state courts and state courts are the common law court, and they publicize that. But it appears to be a common law court eventually have changed into admiralty.
Right. Well, what they are is they're corporatism. They're corporate courts. You know, just bear in mind, when you go into it, let's start off with the town court or a city court. You get arrested or get a ticket or something from one of those cops. They're serving you and bringing you into the municipality court, which is the town of or the city of or whatever the case may be. And that's a corporate organization. They're there to make money. All the money they go into their CAFA funds, and it becomes part of their retirement funds. And there's a lot of other fugazi things going on there. But nevertheless, it is a corporate court. They're there to do business, and the business is to do it is make money. And they take you off the street, and they make money off you. And these cops serve the corporate courts, which is a municipality. And they operate under corporate charter, not under the Constitution. And when you go into that courtroom and challenge their jurisdiction and refuse to give them consent, they get frustrated. They don't know what to do because they are taught. This is why I know they know. These guys know. They require. They have the clerks and everybody all trained not to receive anything unless you're making a pled, you know, a pleading. You plead innocent or not guilty. I mean, innocent or guilty. And they won't take your paperwork unless you do that. And they resist giving any other kind of paperwork. I always write papers. I got to give it to the judge because they won't take it. And the judge doesn't even want it because they don't want to get into that fight or that battle because they've been trained that they know that they don't have consent. Unless they get your consent, they don't have any authority over you. They know that. I'm convinced of that now. I wasn't sure for the longest time, but now I know.
Yeah, I don't think we have a lot of time because I believe that even the Pope may have published something, but we cannot be relaxed because of they always move towards their wall very very heavily. So we really do not have much time.
Well, I agree. We have to get moving, everybody. Let's get our grand juries constituted. Let's get those elections going. Let's do it. I got to move on because we only got about 3 or 4 minutes, and we got a couple of the callers. Maybe we can get a minute or two with them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, good talking to you. We'll talk to you again soon. Okay, 717, Jesse. You should be hearing that you've been unmuted. Go ahead, Jesse.
Hi, John. How are you doing?
Good. And yourself?
Not bad. I have a friend here. He wanted to ask a question. He came over, and I told him about the meeting tonight. He wasn't able to get online at his house. So his name's Rick, and I'll just let him ask the question.
Man, how you doing, Rick?
Not too bad. About yourself?
Good. If I complain, no one can do anything about it. So, you know, I'm doing fine.
Okay. I have a question. What is everyone's take on family law throughout the country?
What does what?
What is everyone's take on family law?
Well, look, family law shouldn't even be called family law. They got the family courts. Is that what you're talking about, really?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, family courts were set up, I know, here in New York, and we only got a couple of minutes, so I may kind of try to push this through quickly, and maybe we can cover it again next week. But basically, family courts were set up to deal with families, and they're supposed to be dealing with humanity, dealing with, you know, children, dealing with, you know, husbands and wives that are having problems in their lives, and their children are affected by it. So they've been given certain latitude to be a little more freer. And what they've done is they use that latitude to clamp down and make more money off of that process. And it's a sin. It's destructive. Everything that the family courts do is destructive. I have not ever seen anything go good in family court, except for the time we went into it and we made it do good. But other than that, I've never seen anything go good there. These people are destroyers of families. They destroy these children. And these children are damaged, and they deserve the restitution from the damage that the judges have done to these people. The very first thing they do when they get you into these family courts, very first thing they do is they give everyone a lawyer. They give the child a lawyer. If there's three children, they'll give them lawyers. They each get their own lawyer, and then they give each parent a lawyer, or they require them to get lawyers. And then you got a bunch of lawyers, and just imagine that. A bunch of lawyers trying to run a family and correct problems. Ain't going to happen. And they're stuck there until those children become adults. Total destructiveness. They destroy the families.
I
have a lot more to say about it, but we're getting close to the end. But you want to make a comment, final comment?
Well, I just wanted to hear your take on it, but I would love to hear more, but I'll have to find out at the next session, and I thank you for your time.
Okay, thanks for calling in. We've come to the end. We've only got a few minutes. I know there was one or two other callers left. Sorry we didn't get to you, but we just ran out of time. Gerard's not doing his job pushing me along, so it's all his fault. But anyway, Lord willing, we will be back next Monday. Hopefully everybody will show up. I'm sorry about all the problems we're having on the site, in our chat room. Hopefully we'll get that corrected by next Monday, and we'll just take it from there. We'll have some new news on Monday. We'll know where these people are going up here in Greene County, and we'll be reporting on it. All right, Godspeed, everybody. And for those who are new, nationallibertyalliance.org. Good night.